Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you all. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, I'm so glad that everyone, whoever's tuning in right now, I appreciate you taking out the time out of your schedule to call in. You know, here on Dirty Church Radio, we invite all to call in. We love you all, and we thank God for you. We're just looking forward to having a great show this evening. I believe it's going to be great. We're going to have some special guests come on here tonight. And tonight we're going to be talking on the topic of, are you saved or playing it safe? So until then, I want y'all to stay tuned. I'm going to play this song. He has done so much for me. From the Sanctuary Mass Choir of Greater Word to the World Ministries, Trenton, New Jersey. And we'll be right back.
That's all right. Y'all stay on your feet. Come on. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody over there just clap your hands. Everybody over there just clap your hands. Everybody come on, just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Come on. All the joy that I'm feeling, sometimes I feel like I'm insane, because I know the Lord is real and I know He's done so much for me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise Him enough. Sometimes I feel like I'm insane, because I know how good the Lord has been. I know He's done so much for me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise Him with every word He's done. Oh, yeah. Have you done anything for you tonight? For me, I just can't tell it all. He has done so much for me. I just can't tell it all. The Bible says,
He has done so much for me.
Come on, come on.
Me.
I'm so sick, yeah, I'm done.
Thank God for that song right there. He has done so much for me, because I can truly say God has done so much for me. I truly believe that in my heart. I thank God just for being so good to me, for opening up doors in my life. I just thank God, man, for another opportunity to breathe upon the face of this earth. Thank God for family. Thank God for, you know, being able to receive a word, you know, because it only takes one word that can change your life. And I do understand that, you know, this war in this world takes place in our mind. There are a lot of people losing their minds, giving up, committing suicide. I mean, just so much going on in this world right now. And to have peace of mind, if you have peace in your mind right now, you need to be real thankful, because that's a blessing to have peace in the midst of all this chaos that's going on. So listen, tonight, man, we're going to have different people calling in, regardless of, you know, what you believe or what you connected to. Like I stated before, I am the host of the show, Minister Jay Miller. I am saved. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I stand on the Word of God. I believe on the Word of God. I trust. I have faith in God. Regardless, I don't let intellect or anything get in the way of my connection of what God has done for me, because that's my testimony, and the only witness I need to that is myself, because he's done it for me. And listen, tonight's show is going to get, it's probably a different topic for some people out here, but tonight we're going to be talking about, are you saved or are you playing it safe? Are you saved or are you playing it safe? And tonight, I'm going to start. I got my brother Sword, Pastor Harris, on the phone with us. And I have my brother, I believe it's our minister. Everybody knows him from YouTube and all over the world. He travels. Our brother Marcel, Minister Marcel Adams.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm well, man. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it, man. I got my brother Sword on here, too. What's going on, Sword?
Oh, man, like I told you, I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand, and I won't let him go until he blesses me, you know? God has been
I hear you.
Me.
I hear that. That's allow right.
Me to
it's
live.
The best thing. Yes. Well, today's show, man, I know, I just want to ask y'all a question, right, since there's only two of us on live in the queue right now. I'm going to ask each one of y'all this question. And I only need you to be like 30 seconds in answering, or no longer than a minute. I'm going to start with our brother Sword. When you hear the topic of are you saved or playing it safe, what do you get from that?
Well, you know, it would have to be, you would have to be a little bit more clear in where you want to go, because like Scripture teaches us the safe place, and it also teaches us about being saved. And being saved is the safest place. But the Word of God says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. So, you know, to be where God wants you to be and in his will, which is to be saved, you are safe. You can clarify the question a little bit more, but on a intellectual level or understanding of Scripture, I mean, we know the safest place to be is the will of God. And you have to play it safe by being saved, which is delivered from the power of sin, the power of death, sickness, and anything that would try to stop you from being the person that God wants you to be. So, you know,
okay.
It's two okay. sides to the kingdom.
Okay, I got you. I hear you. Now, our brother Marcel Adams, I'm going to ask you the same question. When you hear the topic of are you saved or playing it safe, what do you take from that?
The first thing comes to mind is being saved is when you give God your heart. Either you saved, we can't struggle the fence. We can't be saved and not saved. It's either one or the other. So first thing comes to mind is either you're saved or you're not. Next thing comes to mind is you can be saved and not have a prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, then to me, you're not using everything that God has equipped you with in being saved, because prayer is direct communication to God, and if you don't do that, then to me, you don't have a saved life. Or playing it safe. Are you playing it safe by Saturday night going out to clubs and doing stuff that's not godly? Now, we know we live in the world, but we're not of the world, so are you playing it safe? Or are you or trying to play it safe, and we may think that God don't know, but don't forget now, the Bible says God knows and sees all. So that's the thing that comes to mind when I hear it. And, you know, just trying to do things that we may think God won't hear or know about, but he knows it all. He knows it all.
Okay. Okay, our brother Marcel Adams. Listen, we got our brother Aaron D.A. Spradley. A lot of y'all know him on this show. He plays in the role and the character of the devil's advocate. So we're going to say what's up to him. What's going on, my brother?
How's it going? Long time. Waiting for the moment.
It's been a minute. We back, though. We back. We back strong. We back strong.
How's
Dirty
it going, Sword?
Ain't going nowhere.
All right. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Same here. How's it going,
and
brother
Marcel?
And this is
Marcel Adams on the phone,
Marcel?
Too, man. Yeah.
Bless
how's it going,
you, man.
Brother Marcel?
I'm well,
okay.
Man. Thank you. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you.
Good.
Glad to be back.
Yeah. This is his first time on Dirty Church Radio, man. And we'll get to him, too, because he has a radio station, too. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show.
Okay.
But right now, D.A., since you just came on, when you
mm-hmm.
just hear the topic, are you saved or plan is safe? What do you take from just hearing that statement or that topic or a discussion?
Okay.
What do you get from it?
Well, just hearing that topic, you say, are you saved or plan is safe? You ask yourself, what are you saved from? My thing is, my opinion is, people, or when somebody is being saved, Christians are being saved from hell. So when somebody is looking at that term saying, okay, well, are you truly, truly saved? Are you 100% devoted to God and Jesus' work and his ministry? Or are you basically putting in some timeshare in heaven because you're scared to go to hell? That's what I think about.
Wow. And that's one of the things, the views that I was saying on here when I came up, when I was thinking about the topic and I just came up with it. I was thinking like, wow, are we saved because we truly saved and salvation and our perception of salvation has truly for real brought change to our life and made us a better person, a better father, a better brother, you know, a better, you know, man, period. Just a better being, a better human on this earth. Or has the perception of salvation, it's like your plan is safe. Let me just do this or dab into this, you know, just in case it's real or just in case I have to, but I really don't believe the way I confess that I believe because
I think
the opposite of everything that I confess.
I think people do believe. I think a lot of people do believe, but believe in one thing and totally living the way the Bible instructs people to live. If not impossible, it's very, very difficult for people to do that. That's why we constantly use, you know, we're not perfect. So the only thing you can be saved from is hell. What else are you going to be saved from? You're saying that you cannot obtain basic altruism, being a good person without salvation. There's a lot of people in this world that can obtain that, have obtained that, and they are that right now without salvation. They don't necessarily believe in Jesus. They may believe in other things. They may not believe in anything at all, but they still obtain to be a good person. So Christians, their main point, I believe, that you're being saved from damnation. Is that a bad thing? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this question. Is good just being a good person good enough?
Well, in the Christian world, no, it's not good enough. But in the real world where everybody lives at, yes, it is, because that's what you strive for. You strive to be a better person, whether you believe in a certain type of religion or faith or not. You strive to be a good person. You strive to maintain the well-being of you, your family, and your fellow man. And if not, you reap the consequences, whether you believe in a faith or not, or follow a religious dogma or not. That's...
Well, listen, I keep, like D.A. said, you reap the consequences whether you're good or not. In other words, if I break the law, I'm gonna be punished. The world is trying to promote, I would say, in a blunt way or undercover way, that we all should strive for each other's well-being, and you got wealth, wellness programs and different, re-entry programs to try to get you to change your mind from the negative things that got you where you at or got you in a program to be good. But when we put God in the equation and we put eternal life in the equation, it goes to where, like, from my understanding and my reading the scriptures, like, I can't pay God off. So in other words, I just being good or doing good don't qualify me to be a candidate for eternal life. Eternal life in God's eyesight is based upon your faith in him to believe in the work that he did through his son, Jesus Christ, known as the Savior of the world. So your faith in him, I don't care what type of lifestyle you got. I mean, we know that a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. But granted, once you come into salvation and you get saved, there are going to be some rough areas that you got to iron out. Now, being saved now is being saved that sin don't have no power over me unless I give it. Once I get salvation, now that I've got salvation, I have this desire and drive to be better and do better and to study God's word so I can be good. But being good don't qualify me. My faith qualified me. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit when I choose to believe with a pure heart from a conviction that I'm a sinner and I sin. And so my conviction now, based upon my faith and belief in him, qualifies me to be saved.
I got a question for you, Sword. Here's my question. What is your definition of a good man without faith? Or can a man be a good man without faith?
Well, what some people teach is in the world programs and different things, you got natural faith. What we call natural faith is, you know, if I get in my car and I put the key and start it up, it's gonna start. I'm not trying to juggle in my mind, is my car gonna start? Or if I sit in a chair, I'm not juggling in my mind if that chair gonna hold me. I got faith that when I sit down, I'm going to sit down. It's going to hold me. It's called natural faith in different little things that we see. When I turn the doorknob, natural faith, the doorknob ain't going to come off. If the doorknob come off, we like, oh, something ain't right. But our natural faith is we walk in it. So every man has a certain degree of faith. And then when you talk about being good, first of all, he got to believe either in what somebody's teaching him or in himself that he can be good. There's a such thing as being good, but like I said, that don't qualify you for the eternal. The eternal, that qualifies you in good standing. That man would take his hat off to you right here, you know, and sit down and eat with you because you're not mischievous or you're not, you know, being what we call bad, you know. So, I mean, you know, faith, everybody got some degree of faith. Some degree of faith, you know.
Okay.
Deep internal, like, belief that it is.
Okay. All right. Our brother Marcel, you got anything you want to say?
I'm just enjoying listening, man. It's very, very, I like the, everybody's, coming back what their personal opinion towards it. Now, I do want to say a man without faith is an to me, my opinion, and that's because I'm a man with much faith and also a Christian man. A man without faith is not a stable man at all. I say that because how can you, you know, not have, now, of course, if you're not Christian, then I guess if you're not Christian, then you would say you would need faith, you know, because, you know, who would you need faith in? So, I mean, I think everybody, like you say, will have their own type, you know, slight opinion on towards that. Mine is just that, you know, I probably wouldn't quite want to meet him. Yes, sir.
Hey, Minister J, I just want to comment a little bit, piggyback off of what he was saying. But at the same time, right, also the question about man having faith or being good, does he need faith to be good? You know, like, there is this universal belief system that there is a deity out there somewhere who is teaching mankind to do good to his fellow man, do good to himself, and a universal love for human mankind as a whole. No matter what race you is, no matter what color you is, no matter what religion you is, no matter what your belief is, but, you know, there is a teaching in the world to inspire people to become good. And so I take it that they have some degree of faith, whatever it is that they choosing to believe in, but we know as Christians that our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is a deeper, personal, and it's kind of like we know him. It's like it's not blind, like, you know, it says we walk by faith and not by sight, but yet we also have a spiritual sight. And so now that Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to manifest myself unto you, and they asked him, how will you manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I and my Father will sup with you. So God, through Jesus Christ, reveals himself. And when he revealed himself, then you get to know him personal. So we're not just talking about a universal good spirit that's accepting all just because you be good. Being good, if being good will get me there, then that means that the Jews who was here during Jesus' time said that their father is the devil, but they wasn't going to no club. They wasn't smoking. They wasn't on the corner drinking. They wore their religious garb. They prayed. They did what was right to do. But yet, they wasn't candidates for eternal life because they chose not to believe in the work that God done through Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, I just want to say this. Since with this topic dealing with are you saved or just playing it safe, I just want to read this one scripture. It's John, the third chapter, the seventh verse. John, the third chapter, the seventh verse. And it says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, that's in when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he was, you know, telling him that, you know, he must be born again. And then Nicodemus, you know, questioned, you know, like, well, how can I be born again? Can I enter into my mother's womb again? And Jesus said, no, you must be born of the Spirit, of the water. You know what I'm saying? So my question is, if Jesus said ye must be born again, right? If he's saying you must be born again, where does that leave just the good man or the man that just does good deeds but has never been born again? And I'm gonna let DA tag on that for a little bit.
Give me 1 second. Somebody else can answer that, and then I'll come right on. I'll tell you that I'm back on.
Okay.
Okay.
Minister Marcel Adams or Brother Sword?
Yeah. It's open for Mark.
Hello.
You must, Minister Marcel.
Yes, sir. Ask the question one more time.
Yeah,
the question was, you must. Go ahead, say it again.
No, I was just explaining to him that you were speaking about Jesus' statement that you must be born again. Where does the good man fit into that? You know, equation. You know,
like if the good man, he's a good man, but he hasn't been born again. Where does that leave that man? He does good deeds. Matter of fact, he even does some greater deeds than the man who has been born again or says he's
Guess
been
what?
Born again.
I know we heard this song before. The Bible is right and somebody's wrong. It's an old song. But I know this sounds cruel, but the Bible is basic. It can't get no easier. God never left us with nothing to follow. He left us with the basic instructions before leaving the earth. That's the Bible we go by. In the Bible, you just read it, it said we must be born again. So if he's not born again doing all good deeds, guess what? God's not going to credit it as a bad that his good deeds, they still be counted for. But because he's not born again, it wouldn't be counted as him going to heaven. He must be born again. So I would just, that's my opinion on it. Now, some people might say, well, this is a merciful God. God is a God of it. Then my argument to that is God is also a God of order, and God is going to honor his word.
So straight to the point on your take, and I'm coming at Sword right here. Hold up. I'm going to let my other mans on here right now. Hold on, y'all. We got our brother Jarrell Williams on the line right now, man. What's going on, bro?
What's up, man? What's going on, Doc?
How you doing,
man?
Good, man. I appreciate you calling in, man, at Dirty Church Radio. Listen, man, we in this discussion, man, dealing with are you saved or playing it safe? And right now we're at a segment or a point where we was just talking about in John, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, marvel not, ye must be born again. And we was talking about the difference between a person or a man or woman in this world who's just a good person. They do good things. They do great. They feed the hungry. I mean, they go visit the sick. I mean, they're nice people, but they're not born again. In your opinion, where do they go?
Now, the Bible also talks about how when the people presented themselves before God, how they said, God, we did this in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And God said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. Okay. Now, here's my issue. If they did all that in the name, they did good, consider it all good, and they did it in the name of Jesus, and for Jesus to say, I never knew you, how do you expect the person that's, say, for instance, feeding the needy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, to make it in when Jesus clearly said, when people had said, I had done this in your name. You see what I'm saying? So if they did that in the name of Jesus, and Jesus was the one that said, I know you not, that lets me know that good works is not, just because it's good works or anything that's positive, if you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's good for the community, but as far as your spiritual life and making it into heaven, I don't believe so.
Wow. All right, just let you know I'm back. So whenever you're ready for me,
okay.
Minister Miller.
Okay. Well, my man Jarrell Williams, he just came on. This is DA. Everybody on this show, his character is the devil's advocate right now. So the question was, we were just talking about in John the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse, where it said, marvel not, ye must be born again. So, and we was talking earlier about there are good people. You even mentioned there are good people that do good deeds, that they may travel across the world and feed kids and build schools for them and make sure, you know, change people's lives. They're good people. They just do good things. But the question is, if they're not born again, where does that leave them?
Oh, okay. Well, from a Christian's perspective, it leads them to hell. But what I would object to or ask the question, well, first a statement. Christians would say, okay, as a Christian, it's your job to be a good person. Period. As a human being, it's your job to be a good person. But what a Christian is saying that you have to have one more stipulation, and that stipulation is you have to believe in Jesus. So you can be a bad person all your life, and one day you actually, right before you die, your deathbed is calling you, and you're about to die, and you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, it negates every bad thing that you've ever done in your whole entire life up until that point, and you die right there, and you make it into heaven, rather than somebody who has been doing good all of their life, helping the needy, doing all these good things. On their deathbed, they don't believe in Jesus, and they die. I think that's the most craziest oxymoron that anybody could ever imagine, because how fair is that for somebody to have not done anything good before they die, they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and make it into heaven.
Okay, can I interrupt you real quick? Now, my question to you is, has this person that has been doing good all their life, have they had the opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior?
No, see, that's what I'm saying. That takes
it to another flip, because I can be doing good all my life. I can be doing good all my life, but yet and still, say, for instance, I go to a funeral, the pastor gives me an opportunity to accept Christ as my Savior and says, okay, sir, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, the good that you do means nothing unless you
know.
Based on Bible.
Yes,
we're faith believers. Based on Bible, the pastor said, give it to the person that's doing good all their life and says, you know, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, hell, you will spend eternity. Got me?
Yeah, I know.
Now here's my issue. That person heard the warning call. He had the opportunity to accept Christ as his Savior, but he rejected. Is that what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I totally understand you.
It's not like I'm saying, okay, those that never heard, you know, and I'm still doing research on those who never heard, quote unquote, the word and everything like that and never gave the opportunity. I'm still questioning that and, you know, studying about that. But for those who have had the opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior, no matter if they did good in the community, but they rejected it, that was their opportunity. Now, if I'm on my deathbed, and say, for instance, I was selling drugs, hustling all my life, my parents never took me to church, I wasn't part of church, anything like that, and I got shot, and I'm on my deathbed. A preacher comes in and says, listen, son, in order for you to make it in, you must accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and blah, blah, blah. Whether you accept him as your Savior and walk out of here healed and live for him, or accept him as your Lord and Savior and, you know, die and go to heaven. If the person that was shot or on the deathbed
took heed to the warning call, whether it was 10 years ago or the last minute, but took heed to the warning call, you can't say that's an oxymoron, man.
Yes, it is. The reason why I will say it's an oxymoron is because the same point I'm making. Somebody has been doing bad their whole life, has one opportunity before they die to accept Christ, not to do good, just to accept Christ. They actually make it into eternity of bliss. Somebody who's been doing good all their life does not accept Christ and dies. It turns damnation for the rest of eternity. Is that fair? Me personally? No,
but
I don't think that's fair.
Let me ask you this, though. Isn't accepting Christ the bigger picture more greater than the deed that a man does?
It isn't. No, it's not.
I want to just comment just a minute, like we all together. I think we talked about that last time, like, you know, sharing the floor a little bit. You know, I just want to just comment on a statement about, you know, you on your deathbed and you accept Jesus Christ. The world is convicted of sin. The world is convicted of sin, not because they smoke, drink, lie, steal, sell drugs, run around, chase women, fornicate, adultery. The Bible says the world is convicted of sin because they believe not. So because they choose not to believe in the redemptive power that God has given for man to be saved, then they lose out. Jesus said there's none good, no, not one. And they called him good.
But Sword, I have a question for you, Sword. And my question for you is, isn't being a Christian, a stipulation on being a Christian is to be a better person, correct? So you strive as a Christian, it's your duty to do good, correct?
Right. It says that we are saved by
the meaning of a Christian and salvation is to turn away from. So therefore, whether I'm to the point of if I did bad on my life and I'm on my sickbed and it takes that to get me to turn away from, whether I die or live, if I commit to Christ, I mean, why shouldn't I be accepted? Now, I'm gonna put it to you like this real quick.
Hold on one second. I just want everybody to know that. Hold up. Before anybody says anything, I'm gonna mute. I want everybody to know. If I say, hold up, we're going to move to the next question or whatever, I need everybody to take heed to that. All right, so I don't want nobody to think they're just going to take the whole thing over. I want to hear everybody what everybody got to say, but make sure, give everybody a chance to say what they're saying. Let's not over-talk each other. Everyone, make their statement. Make your statement, and let's move on. Let's not stay, you know, stuck taking 20 minutes to explain one thing. You know what I'm saying? So let's keep it flowing. And I think it's a young lady on here. I believe I heard a young lady's voice.
You did.
Did I hear a young lady's voice? Okay. Yes, if you want to say something, you can go ahead too at this time.
I lost my train of thought from that lecture, so please continue.
Sorry. Okay.
Continue with conversation. I don't even know where we're at anymore.
I think our brother Darrell, Darrell, I forget his name, was saying something.
Jarrell.
Yeah, Jarrell. I'm sorry.
Now, I have been to a situation, and it's just recently, that a good friend of mine who was shot and killed in Philadelphia, right? Shot and killed. But he was involved in some stuff that he shouldn't have been involved in. So my question, I don't know whether he went to heaven, hell, whatever, if he accept Christ, whatever. But my main focus was, even if he did accept Christ, say for instance he did accept Christ on his deathbed, he died. Had the funeral, it was over 2,500 people at this funeral, okay? At the funeral, over 80-some people gave their life to Christ, who were gangbangers, all of that. So, therefore, you said, isn't Christ-like meaning that you do good, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It may have taken a bad situation, but the people that were doing bad with whatever, heeded to the call. That's what I was saying to you before. They heeded to the call whether they was doing bad or good. If you're doing good and you don't heed to the call, the Bible clearly states, accept the man, Romans 10 and 9, say, accept, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay? So it gives you the stipulations of being saved and how to get saved at that point. If I don't take heed to get saved, and I know and I've been warned that if I don't accept them, I'm going to go to hell, but I continue to do good works. But
does
I don't
that apply when you don't believe?
Excuse me?
Does that apply when you don't believe?
What do you mean?
If you don't believe that when you die and you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to go to heaven or hell, does that still apply, that you're going to go to heaven or hell? You use an example of some gangbangers getting saved at somebody's funeral, about 80 of them, yes?
Yes.
And would it have been any different if they were at a mosque? I think that's just a vulnerable situation in an emotional time where anybody can make any type of decision in that state of mind because they're vulnerable, they're sad.
Now, I can say this. I can truly say that I have known some people that have gotten saved in situations like that who have actually turned their life completely around. And, I mean, and I feel that it does apply to everybody as far as my beliefs. I mean, like, everybody's beliefs is different. You know, everybody has different opinions on different situations. But my belief is it applies to everybody. If you accept Christ, you make it in. You reject it, you don't.
Now,
well, listen,
if you don't
let me say this, right? When we first started talking about this, the scripture that was read was John 3 and 7. John 3 and 7, and this is Jesus talking according to the Bible, and it says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So if he's saying ye must be born again, really there's no compromise. If you're a good person or a bad person, like whoever you are, according to the word, is saying you must be born again. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, that's a statement saying, all right, this must be done first, and then let's move on to some other things. But first, let's start here at you being born again.
Okay. So, again, if I don't believe that, why do I got to follow the statement of what this book is telling me to do in order to secure where I go when I die?
That's the whole thing of a believer and an unbeliever. I mean, whether you believe or not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can, and I'm going to just say this, I can believe that a gun can do some harm, and you could be on somewhere else, and it won't do me no harm. It doesn't mean that if I shoot you or that the bullet's not going to do what it's going to do just because you say you don't believe it.
No, that's a fact. A bullet, if you get shot by a bullet, it's going to hurt you. You could die, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, but have you
it's
ever
a fact
but have you,
or a proven fact
have you
that
ever
if we
died?
Die and if we don't accept Jesus Christ
but
as our personal Savior,
you,
that we're going to go to
but
heaven
what I'm
or
saying,
not.
Though, has it ever killed you? Like, have you ever died from a bullet?
I've never got shot by a bullet.
No, so what I'm saying, though, if we understand by what we've seen others, we understand if you get shot, you know, you can die. But the thing about salvation and you being born again, it's a personal decision that a person has to make in their life. Whether you believe it right now, like you, let's say you believe or you don't believe. But if Jesus is saying you must be born again, whether you believe that you have to or not, if it's the truth, it does apply to you.
You got to answer to him. You know, it's proof that he came and he walked on this earth, the exact copy of God, a man with no sin, chosen by God to save the world, if the world believes.
Because the book told you that.
Because the world believes not. And I'm speaking not just because of what I heard and what I read. I've been convicted within my spirit, man, and my soul, that I know Jesus Christ according to the power of his resurrection. And yet, you know, like, you don't have to believe, but the truth is you must stand before him and give an account. And none of us can give an account for our sins, so we need to be saved. Saved from the power of death and hell, and where sin will take us when we stand before the holy God.
Oh, wow.
Who's going to question us about our deeds. What can you say about the lying that you've done? What can you say about the stealing that you've done? What can you say about the fornication that you've done? We know God exists, but you got to give an account for the deeds that you've done in your body. And if God is saying that I will not impute you for those sins, I will forgive you of those sins and wipe your slate clean, if you believe in the sacrifice that I sent for humankind, that the innocent died for the guilty. We guilty. We deserve to be punished. We deserve death. But yet God said, you know what? I'm not going to destroy you. I'll give you the opportunity to live, because you got a free will to either follow Satan or to follow me. So if you choose to do whatever you
want. I heard a gentleman say something earlier about giving an example about if somebody lives their life doing good deeds for others their whole life and they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, as opposed to the person who does bad all their life and they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior before they die. Now, what you just said, sir, to me, the one talking about how great Jesus is and how he forgives us for our sins, then what's up with the people who do good all their lives and do not accept Jesus as their personal Savior, and their heart is in it? They're not doing with the intent to get anything back. They're doing it to help others, because that's just the goodwill of their nature.
Well,
so they can't enter into this kingdom of heaven because they didn't accept this Savior. Now, here's another question. I'm going to throw another one on top of that question. I am a non-believer. Why? Because I have a problem with, now, history, yes, slavery. The only way I know to trace the Bible back is how it was taught to us through our masters. Yes or no? You don't have to answer. I question, like, why is it that you are able to do what you do to us as a people? Beat us, rape us, mentally just destroy us all the way for 400 centuries up until now. You see the detriment of our people. So why is it okay to accept your religion and your word of God and your Jesus, but you've done so much to us as a people for all these years and continue to? And that's where I question, like, so why do I want to accept this Jesus in my heart that this people present to me? And then I started questioning, if there was never slavery, would I even know who a Jesus is, or would there be something else?
Well, I mean, to be me personally, I don't know. Am I on?
Yes,
you are. Hello? Oh, okay.
We all here.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's basically by chance. Wherever you happen to grow up, wherever you lived, whatever country you live in, usually nine times out of ten is where your cultural belief plays a big part into it. But besides that, it stems down from each religion, including Christianity, which trumps a lot of other religions, where if you believe in Christ, you are secure from eternal damnation. So most people, when they do accept Christ, that's their agenda. The young man mentioned it was a guy who was gangbanging, and because he died, a lot of other gangbangers came in and actually accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why not? This is a time of mourning. I'm scared. Nobody in this world knows what the other side looks like. So we're scared. We are scared of what we don't know. That's our human innate. We are innately built with that. If we don't know it, most of the time, we're scared of it. And the other side, death, we don't know what happens afterwards. So what we do, we take a safe role. And Christianity, for
religion,
people who don't read that way,
religion,
it's safe.
That's
it's
why
because
I said this topic. That's why I said the topic, are you saved or are you playing it safe?
But what happens
everybody's
with those
saved
that
and playing it safe?
What happens?
You said everybody's what?
I said you are saved to play it safe.
That's
your
exactly
reason.
What
and
it is.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's the Swiss God quote.
You're not saved for any other reason except eternal
life. To make sure
life,
you get into heaven.
That's your promise. That's your promise.
And honestly, is there a problem with that?
No, it's
not.
Not.
It's
but
not at
now,
all.
That, let's go back to that person who was doing the good deeds without knowing Jesus and without an intent. But now they got to go to hell?
Young lady, my question to you, again, goes back to what I said earlier. Did they have the opportunity to accept Christ, or did they, like, never really was in, never went to church, never really heard about, you know, Jesus teeth or whatever like that?
There's a little bit of everybody
in the world that has
the question. Opportunity
now,
to accept
I'm
Christ
being straightforward. I was being honest with you. Like I said, I'm saying in general, for the ones, like I said earlier, for the ones that never heard the word or whatever, or never heard, went to church or everything like that, I'm still doing research on that. I'm still studying about that. But question is, we're dealing with the person that has actually heard and get hit, like, for instance, Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy. When the warning came, those who accepted the warning to get out the city were saved. But those who decided to stay wherever they were, where the storm was, it was either devoured or lost or killed or something. So that's what I'm saying to you. If the unsaved person that was doing good deeds, if he did not heed the warning, are you saying that he should make it into heaven because he just did good deeds?
Okay.
No,
so,
what I'm
so,
asking you is, you get to go into heaven because you accept the Savior. You're doing your good deeds so you can get into heaven, as opposed
to
doing
good
deeds
because that's who you are.
Just based off being human being.
Good just to make it in, that means I'm paying God off. God gives eternal life to whomever he chooses. He have mercy on whom he chooses, and he send damnation to whom he chooses. It's his choice. And so now by you choosing to believe his work and obey what he tell you to obey and do what he tell you to do, you're doing good don't qualify you to get in.
Now, question to you. If God has given you all these instructions and all these rules, what is all these rules for? To do good? Or what's the purpose of the rules? Just to boss you around?
Yeah, it is.
The purpose of the rules is to make you a better person. The purpose of the rules is so you do good for others. So now,
exactly.
I'm following
exactly.
the rules. I'm doing what you asked me to do, except I didn't accept this Savior. So now I can't
go
to
heaven. Well, you didn't follow all the rules. You didn't follow all the rules.
But
I don't want to follow that rule because
that rule don't make sense. Let's go back to the question you were talking about.
Wait.
That had Christ present to them.
Let's calm it down for a second. Listen. Let's talk. Let's not get all, you know, we don't have to get all mad and upset and everything. You know what I mean? Listen, I got a question here. This is my question. All right? If you reject God, should he reject you?
Wait, are we talking about God or Jesus?
Jesus. God, listen, if you reject him, should he reject you?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
The reason why I don't think so is because if you actually had two children and they were your children, one of your children was doing good all the time. The other child was actually doing bad a lot. Are you going to actually say you're not my child anymore because you're doing bad? Or are you
going to accept?
No, it's
not the point of you saying they're not your child no more, but I can't.
He's not going to reap the inheritance.
One child can be rewarded different than the other based on their behavior.
So we do things for reward, as opposed to natural intent?
I'm not asking the question of reward.
If you're going to use that example, don't try to use that example
No,
don't
I am.
Bring the kids in it.
Just listen. No, I am bringing the kids in because listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about rewards. I'm talking about you said if you reject God, is God going to reject you? You didn't say.
Should he reject
if,
you?
So I said no, and I used the example, would you reject your son or your daughter who is acting out and being bad? Are you going to reject him, or are you going to still accept him as your child?
At times it comes to a point where you have to give tough love to the one that's acting bad.
I'm
to
not
the point
saying
where,
anything about
where,
tough love.
Now rejection could be, okay,
No,
get out of my house.
I'm talking about the same type of rejection that God gives. You totally cut that person off and damn that person for the rest of their life and the rest of your life. Would you do that to your child?
Let me ask you this. Hold up.
They're not
going to
answer.
Aaron.
They're going to avoid it because it's not going to happen.
Your kid grows up. He pistol whips you. Your child pistol whips you. And robs you. Steals everything up out the house. You have another son who has not done that, right? So if your child done that to you, you mean to tell me whether how long you would do it or whenever you would do it, you wouldn't reject that child?
No, I would never reject
I would never
my
do
child.
That. Never. I would never reject my child.
But I would never reject my child. No, I don't.
So what would you do in that situation?
First of all, I'm going to look at myself as a parent. What is going on where my child is stealing and robbing from me? And where was the influence? Maybe I was so focused on trying to save people and not my own household. Oh, sorry, but no. What would I do in that situation?
I'd
be there to help her in every way. That's what I teach my daughter now. No matter what you do in life, you could be a murderer. You could kill somebody and be dead wrong. I don't promote what's wrong, and I don't push what you did as wrong, but I'm your mother, you're my child, I will be there for you no matter what, have your back, no matter what you get into, no matter what you do. There's nothing that she could do in my eyes that will make me turn my back from her ever. There will be nothing she can do that will ever make me turn my back on her.
Can I say this real quick? And I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not going to be able to stay on longer because I got to go to a trip tomorrow.
Go ahead, man.
But I, in reference to the child, now, the Bible says when Jesus went back to heaven, he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you that when I come again that ye may be also. Right? You got that. Now, what happens is, I wouldn't say that if we reject Christ, he necessarily, quote unquote, rejects us. What I'm saying is if we don't accept Christ, we don't reap the benefits. We don't reap the benefits of what he's going to prepare. He clearly states, tells us we have to go through him to make it into heaven. So back to the child situation. If I have two children, one's doing bad, one's doing good, I'm not necessarily going to reject the one, but yet and still, the one that didn't accept my rules and didn't accept what I have given them to follow by will not reap the benefits of what I have
and that's
what
totally
I have to
understood.
Offer.
That's totally understood, and I don't knock that, but that wasn't the question. The question was, is it right for God to reject you if you reject him?
I wouldn't say that he rejects.
But still, if you denied your child anything, if you took, there's different forms of rejection. You can reject your child in different ways.
Well, then you would have to specify which rejection you're referring to.
First of all, I said it's like this. If God has rules, and he's saying, listen, this is what I have established, and when you accept this, this is what you get. If you don't accept this, this is what you get based on your choice, because it's left up to you to make a choice. He's saying, listen, if you're born again, if you accept me as your personal savior, right, this is what you get. If you don't, this is the role. So it's not really on him. It's on
you. No, see, my thing is, the only advantage that a Christian or a believer gets is eternal life. But everything else is actually up for grabs, whether you believe or whether you don't believe. So, but your main objective as a believer is to do good in Jesus' name. That is your main objective, is to do good in Jesus' name. Now, if I'm doing good without Jesus' name,
you're going to hell.
You're basically saying, I don't care about that.
You're going to hell.
That means nothing. You can go and kill people because it doesn't make a difference. Because you're still going to the same place a good person goes if they don't accept.
ADA.
But the Bible clearly states, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose.
Yeah,
you have a choice. So if it's my choice, then not accept him, I have to deal with the consequences. I have already been told, if I tell my child, my daughter, don't go running in the street, because if you run in the street, cars are flying up the road. You may get hit by a car or something like that. My daughter decides to go against what I said. I gave her a choice. Listen, you either going to listen to me or you going to deal with the consequences. My daughter decides, okay, I'm going to play in the street. A car hits her. I can't save her because I gave her a choice whether to be in the house safety and safe or be in the street and get hit by a car. So the Bible said, choose ye to say whom you're going to serve. So therefore, I have a choice whether, say for instance, we die and none of this is real. Just say is none of this is real, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But being that I was given the opportunity to choose and I chose not to, where does that leave me?
Well, I mean, that's based on Christianity, but I think Brother Sword wanted to say something.
Can I get like 3 minutes to air time? Like, I just want to comment on the fact you mentioned about somebody doing good work and doing good deeds in Jesus' name, and he goes to heaven. But somebody who's doing good works and good deeds and they don't accept Jesus, they go to hell. And the brother, he got on and he quoted the scripture that Jesus said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done good deeds in your name? I cast out devils in your name. I preached in your name. I did all these wonderful works in your name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, or I'm rejecting you because you work iniquity. That person did not truly have God inside of their heart. Now, we were made from our mother and our father. Adam was created. So when you talk about the family of God, Jesus said, in this world, you've got the children of God and the children of the devil. And so now, in this world, you've got the children of God. So everybody is not the children of God. Everybody was made. Adam was created. You get a male and a female, they produce in the very beginning. But when you talk about God, it goes back to the verse that Minister Jay quoted, where Jesus said, you must be born again. And it says being born again is being birthed into the family of God. You don't join the family of God. We're not talking about religion. This is the quoted religion. We're talking about the Almighty God, the one whom, if you choose to believe, you will have a divine experience with. Not just religion, because we know from history, and she quoted it. We know our history as black people here in America, and the white man, we couldn't read no Bible, and he so-called was a man of God, but he really was false himself, just like the Jews was. But yet Jesus came and taught us in order to see the kingdom of God, not just enter it, in order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. So as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So receiving him inside of your heart gives you the power to be first into the family of God. Then you become a child of God. Everybody is not a child of God.
See, and my thing is, and everything that you said is according to the word. That's why I like the sword so much, because you just give word, and that makes more sense. you know what I'm saying, talking with a Christian, opposed to, you know, your own thoughts and opinions. You're supposed to give me the word. But anyway, my question is, all of that word, all of you know, what Jesus said and all of that, the whole intent and the whole purpose of it is for you to be a better person. That's what God, that's what Jesus wants for his people. He wants his people to be the light of the world.
I want to get a little deeper. You quoted it. You said it too. You said the whole purpose, not just doing good, is that the Christian teaches that eternal life. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about living forever. So not just being good, doing good, but we're talking about eternity. Either eternity in God's blessedness, or even eternity in destruction and hellfire with the enemy of God, Satan himself, who's trying to deceive us to choose negative instead of light. So it goes deep to just doing good. Yeah, God wants me good, but my good don't save me. My good be a light. Maybe you might change. So I stop smoking, stop drinking, and stop running around to be a light to those of my friends who knew that's what we do in the world. That's what we do in darkness. So now my good don't qualify me to get eternal life. My good is a light to you that this is the way.
And see, that's true. Everything he said, he's totally right. Your good has nothing to do with salvation. Your salvation is totally based on your belief, and because of your belief, you enter into heaven. You get a reward because you actually believe that Jesus did what he claimed he did and what people said he did. That's the only way you actually get into heaven, is based on belief. Now, I ask you this. My question to everybody on the phone is, let's say I don't necessarily accept that belief. Let's say I accept to be a Muslim, and I accept the Prophet Elijah Muhammad, and I accept the ways of the Muslim belief. Are you saying that my life has changed based on my belief, based on my religion, based on my salvation? Are you saying that your belief trumps my belief because I don't believe the way you believe?
I got a question.
My whole question from the gate, like, you have not given me a reason to want to say I want to be saved by this Jesus and go to this eternal life that you are pushing so badly, claiming to be right. You have not given me a reason to want that, because off of facts and off of what we know, like you just said on history, that's what I know of Jesus. That's what I know of what comes from the Bible. And me personally, as a black woman, would not want anything to do with that, not knowing who this Jesus is and knowing factually where it does come from. So you have not explained to me why I should be saved and want to go into this heaven and have eternal life in heaven and want to have salvation other than just because it's right. And I believe
I got a question.
Ask on.
Go ahead. Who's calling? Who's
me?
That?
Oh, this is Peon Kim calling from the Midwest.
Oh, how you doing?
Oh,
how you doing, man?
Hello.
Of course, you probably heard me say, but I don't believe in God and don't have no need for Jesus. So how did I fit in with the question? I'm kind of along the line. And if there's any way I can help contribute so Jesus can get back by next Monday and go ahead and take away those that's going with him, I sure would. I got $5.
Oh, my God.
That's why it's called Daily Church Radio.
Well, listen, I just want to let
about whatever is on their mind. And
Daily Church Radio. And I'm going to tell you, sir, by you saying what you're saying, listen, I'm going to tell you like this. I created this show. This is Dirty Church Radio. Me, I'm Minister Jay Miller. I'm the host of the show, right? I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And your statement or anything does not move anything, you know, based on with me personally. So I created this show. You have a right to voice your opinion.
Disclaimer.
Say that again?
No, I said I like your disclaimer.
Oh, I'm just saying
like
that.
I liked it.
I'm just saying, I stand for Christ.
You know, Joy Zimmerman's going to heaven too.
If he's born again, if he accepts Jesus sincerely in his heart,
he can say that, then go out and do another two or three Trayvon Martins and still go to heaven. I'm gonna tell you something: black men are dead last here on earth. They're gonna be dead last in heaven, looking at all those who's gonna be there. And that's a shame, man. I mean, look at your community. Look at your women. Look at your children. You talking about Jesus? Well, everybody has their own opinion.
What is your name, sir?
Wait, hold on.
My name is Pianki.
What's your name?
I have a question for you.
Pianki.
Excuse me. Oh, wait. My question is, why don't you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Why aren't you a Christian? What motivates you not to be one?
Well, I'm better than Christians. Don't need a Jesus.
Why?
Well, that's not another Jesus. That religion is not. That God is not my God. Every ethnic group have their own God, and that God was created by somebody recently, Romans in particular. So, what did I need him for? I do not need him. Matter of fact, if he was here on Earth, I think he needs to be locked up. He needs to be indicted. For all the calamity that he's caused. I believe in myself. My family believe in me. I provide for my family, my grandkids, the kids I volunteer with. I don't hang out in clubs, don't hang out in bars because I don't live just for myself. Other people depend on me.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Let's say in your mind, let's just say hell becomes real to you. Would you be down there happy, clapping?
Brother, listen. We want, and you know the funny thing, and I'm not saying you in particular, but it's funny thing, I hear blacks complain about white folks, then the next thing they go on, thank you, Jesus. I mean, that just don't
bottom
make
right.
any sense.
No, bottom right.
How can that be? I mean, it don't make any sense. Think about it.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. We are not made to think. We're made to believe. And by believing, that gives us everlasting life because that's the reward we want. We don't want everlasting life in damnation. We want everlasting life in heaven and in bliss. So by that, we excuse not believing or accepting anything else. We truly aim toward the belief in Jesus Christ because he basically gives us something that we long for, which is after life.
You know why we long for Jesus? Because we don't even know who we are as a people, our own self. We're so lost and walking around, sitting here pushing something. We barely don't even know nothing about somebody. Something else told you to push, and you're ignoring your families. You're ignoring your children. You're so quick to say, I'm going to reject my child if they do this, as opposed to building your home, building your family, building up your legacy, your name, and carrying it on generations and generations and generations. But because we're such a lost people, we're going to get to heaven. We're going to go, and Jesus is going to give eternal life. That's their folk.
Who are you talking about?
Christianity Church.
Okay, well,
you're saying Christians don't take care of their families?
I'm not saying that at all.
They don't take care of their neighborhood
either. I'm saying that Christians are play in a major part of the black community going downhill.
Black Christians don't take care of their community. Look at the Arabs that's controlling your economy, your Asians. Who you going to put, when you go to put gas in your car, who you going to be pumping it from? You going to be pumping it from Mid-Easterners. They don't believe in damn Jesus.
My question is for the two callers is, are you saying that Christians can't do anything good for their communities based on Christianity in the name of Jesus Christ?
I'm talking about black folks.
I
I would like to answer that question really, really quick. Just like there's good and bad in everything in this world, there is good and bad in the church and in Christianity. There are plenty of churches out there and Christians out there doing good. And, yes, they're doing it in Jesus' name. Those good people who do it out of the kindness of their heart and because that's just who they are genuinely in Jesus' name, yes, those are the good parts. The ones, and you cannot denounce it and you cannot deny it, the ones out there who are doing it for selfish reasons and for manipulative reasons, they are out there. Those are the bad people. There's good and bad in everything. So, no, I'm not saying Christians are not taking care of their home, or they are. But I'm saying it's a major part in the black community of why we are not going to make
I say they not.
Minister J. Okay, I have a question for Minister Jay and Sword. And my question is, are you saying that people who don't believe in Christ, they could do all the good they want? Are you saying that it's credited none because they're still going to hell? So what's the purpose of them doing good if they're still?
You know, people do good for different reasons. Like the sister mm-hmm. and the brother teaches about, you know, each one teach one our community, you know, and trying to better our community and just do good in common to keep from going to jail. Even if you feel like you're doing good will cause you to go to jail, you're going to promote and be the activist that you're supposed to help get some justice in the world. Whatever position that you are destined to be and whatever position you play, all good and well. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to be good, okay, you be good. But what I'm saying is, when you talk about the Almighty God, he can't be bought. It's like he give a free gift. He going to give eternal life to whom he choose. That's if you choose to believe that eternal life is, and that there is something after death. None of us never been there. It's either you choose to believe or you choose not to. Either you going to believe that there is eternal bliss, or you just vanish to nothing, or whatever the case may be. If you believe that there is something greater, supernatural out there, the Almighty God, only thing that I'm saying from my understanding is you're doing good, it's not qualifying you to have eternal life. Because if that was the case, a lot of us, like your sister just said, we all got some good in us, and we all do a certain amount. Everybody is not as bad as the next man. Just because I don't do what you think is bad, just because I don't do what you do, I still got some devils in my closet.
Absolutely.
But Sword and Minister J.
I'm here.
Okay. My question is, why? Okay. What's the purpose of doing good if my ultimate heading is to hell, is to eternal damnation? What's the point?
Well,
put it this way.
Let me destroy that. Let me just say this, and I'm saying this on the radio like this. Mr. Wester, you said you're from the Midwest, right?
That's right.
Yeah, 3-1. Now, let me ask you this question. What's your nationality? What are you? You white?
I'm a black African.
It shouldn't matter what his nationality is.
No, listen.
Well, yes,
all,
it does,
listen.
Because we don't believe everything everybody else does.
No, he came on here talking about blacks, and that's why I asked him. I wanted to know, was it a black man saying that, or a white man, or whoever? I wanted to know. So I have the right to ask that. All right, now here we go. I want to know that this is what I'm going to say with brothers D.A., asked the question, and I'm mm-hmm. making this statement regardless of who takes it, how you take it, because we're all on here mm-hmm. talking. And I give everybody mm-hmm. else on here a platform to come on here and to say whatever you say. Just like Midwest, he came on here, he said what he said. And I'm saying to Midwest and whoever, the young lady that's on the phone, based on me, how I view everything, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, and if you're not born again, regardless of what good work you've done, you're going to hell.
Who said
that,
man?
That's nice. That's nice that you believe that. Thank you for sharing that.
I said that.
No, what you know, man, Chris.
It's no in between. It's no in between.
Let me ask you a question. Yahweh.
Thank you for sharing that.
The Yahweh
awesome that
of the Old Testament.
That you believe in something like that. That's great. The, it's good that you believe in that.
Listen,
it's better to stand
listen,
for something and nothing
it's
at
all.
All good.
I just
want
to ask a question.
It's all good.
Let me ask you this question,
okay,
if you don't mind, sir.
And especially with D.A., I really he asked that question, so I'm going to give him the real answer. Ain't going to be no sugarcoating. Ain't going to be no in-between. Like I said on this radio station, if you call here, anybody call here on this radio station, I stand for God and I stand for Christ. You know what I mean? I believe in his salvation, and I believe he is the Savior of the world if you accept it. If you choose not, that's your choice, and you have to deal with the consequences of it.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I'm
very confused. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. In the Yahweh of the Old Testament specifically says that he was not a God for everybody.
There it is. Thank you.
He tells you who to marry, who to let your daughter. Well, let me finish, please.
Before you start calling scriptures, if you're going to bring the Bible in it, give us the scripture. If you're going to mention scripture, give us the scripture and where it's at so we can read it live on the radio.
Well, did everybody mention the scripture when they were reading scriptures earlier?
No. The scripture that I mentioned, I gave the chapter and the verse. Any scripture that I mentioned, that's what I do on here. So if you're going to come on here, you're going to quote a scripture, especially you're quoting us. You're going to say what the Bible says, but you don't believe what the Bible says. You completely goes against it. You feel as though that all Christians, if Jesus was here, he should be locked up and all that. So if you're going to mention a scripture.
I believe in history.
Okay. That's what you believe in.
Amos 3 and 2. Deuteronomy 7 and 6. For I am. For you are holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. He was not for everybody. Religion comes out of ethnic groups, cultures. Men make gods.
Listen, let's go back to
I can give you a whole bunch more too. Deuteronomy 7:3-4. Do not race mix.
Just listen for a second. When you take the pictures that you see today, white Jesus, right? Now I'm a believer. When you take them pictures, I just want to clarify because y'all brought up a little history and you're bringing up the blacks and believing in the white man's religion. First of all, we talking, but we not promoting religion. We promoting obedience unto God through accepting Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at all these pictures, if I took your picture, I never seen you before, but if I know you and each one of us grab one of our pictures and we go back 15, 20 years from now and we grab another picture, you can see some similarities in that picture that's the same person. Police
yeah.
do that all the time. When,
when did black slaves find Jesus? Did they not find it in slavery?
Listen for
Hold
a second.
Let him finish saying what he's going to say. You're going to have your time to say what you're going to say.
When you take all these different...
I can give you my Facebook page. You can go see my picture.
All of these paintings of the so-called Jesus, come on. It's common sense to me, you, and all of us. That's not the same person. So that's not the Jesus that we're talking about.
I'm not talking about no pictures. I know the one you're talking about very well. And I could tell you some more about him, but I really don't want to be disrespectful because it's your belief.
Being disrespectful because we both can't talk at the same time. I'll be saying excuse me before I make my comment. I'll be trying to get in. You override me. That's a lack of intelligence right there.
No, all I have to do is just start muting people. That's all I have to really do. And I'm trying to give everybody
I'm sorry. I can't hardly hear him.
Yeah, I'll let you.
You got to talk up a little louder, Swart.
Yeah, we let him say what he wants. Only thing that I'm saying is that. The Jesus that we're talking about of 2,000 years ago who walked on this earth, we're not talking about no Caucasian man. We're talking about a savior of the world, one chosen by God. and we're not putting no color on him. We know that he came from the Hebrew nation. We also know that he come from the tribe of Judah. And we know that in the tribe of Judah, you got Jews, but we're not talking about the Caucasian we see today. The scripture teaches that his hair was like white as wool. And wool, black folk got kinky hair. But we're not even talking about race, color, and all of that. We're not putting no color on God nor his son. Only thing that we're saying is that if you choose not to believe, you got the answer to the Almighty God based upon what you say you don't believe or you do believe. The evidence is that he has never sinned, and history don't teach us that he's done wrong. And he is the only one who got up and is at the right hand of the Father, and it's only through his name that you can be saved. You know what I mean? Because he was that perfect gift of God.
Well, so maybe Trayvon should have hollered for Jesus rather than help.
He probably did. And he probably did Jesus right now. You don't know that. The Bible says, don't
you know,
say anything.
According to the...
You know what I mean? You don't know. He might be right with Jesus.
Do you know what's interesting? It's interesting how, you know, Christians claim that, you know, it's not religion, it's relationship, and other beliefs claim that it isn't religion, it's relationship. But this is basically how wars begin. Because you believe one way, I believe another way, and I believe that mine's trump yours, and since I believe that mine's trump yours, I have to make you believe what I believe.
Meaning that
I'm saying to you, if you want eternal life, if you want to live this right and holy life, I'm not basing the whole Christianity or the whole belief on what you personally believe. I'm basing it on the general purpose of Christianity and what Christianity means as a whole, not just your personal belief. And I'm saying that that's basically how wars start, because I don't believe the way you believe, and because I don't, I either have to enforce my belief on you or...
You're right, yeah. And that's why come stand your ground is so important. But you know, you're talking about lamb's wool. Lamb's wool is not kinky, nor do when you burn brass, it does not turn black, because pure brass has no carbon in it. So those, I understand where you're coming from with that.
I've burned brass before. When you put fire on a penny is brass. You put fire on a penny, it turns brown.
Well, the reason why come brass is doesn't turn black when it's burned, because in the metal
black.
Fuse.
I never said black.
Well, that's what they use. I mean, they say that.
Tarnished.
The Bible says. Does not the Bible say black?
Penny is brass.
Well,
and
you
burnt the penny. I put fire on it. It's turned brownish red.
Pure brass.
Listen to me, what I'm saying. Pure brass does not turn black because it does not have carbon.
But I never said black.
I'm not saying you did.
Oh my God.
I'm saying what the Bible
says.
I mean, see, now he wanted to chastise me for speaking, and he's speaking over me.
No.
Jesus
is
gonna get you for that.
No, I thought you was quoting me, but I never said black.
Don't you know the Lord gonna get you, gonna strike you for that?
Oh yeah. Well, he's a merciful God.
Now, as I was saying before, in the Bible, it talks about brass have burnt feet like burnt brass.
Right.
Feet like burnt brass. When brass is heated, pure brass, it does not turn black. It doesn't have carbon. And let me tell you why. Would you let me finish, man?
Yeah, but you quoting the scripture, but it's scripture don't say black.
How many different versions of Christianity? How many different Bibles is there?
A lot.
There's 250 denominations of Christianity. The New Testament has been revived over 250,000 times. Now, as I was saying before, welders use brass grass strips as backup on a full penetration well. If it had carbon in it, it would contaminate the well and it would fail its test. Pure brass does not turn black.
Okay.
Now, okay, now my
wait,
my
let him finish.
Okay,
I'm done.
But I didn't say it turned black, sir.
How many times? Did y'all hear me say that what he said?
Yeah, but I'm saying I haven't read that in the scriptures. I read it.
Oh, well, how many Bibles have you read?
Well, I'm saying I'm a student of the Bible.
I understand. No, you ain't stupid. I understand.
No, he's
I understand.
You tell
I understand.
Me
I'm not hollering. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. All right. We cool.
Okay, we cool. It's dirty trick
right.
Radio. So
when you go to heaven, when you go to heaven, send me a postcard.
Why is it?
Hey, man, that's all according to God and his chosen. I'm exempt from that.
I've seen people put Obama phones in caskets with people with plenty of minutes and battery charge, and they ain't got a call back yet.
Well, why is it that someone who believes has more of an opportunity from the Bible's perspective, they have more opportunity to be right, do right, and actually achieve more spiritually than someone who doesn't necessarily accept that particular belief. Let's say, for instance, I'm a Christian, but I'm not your type of Christian. Let's say I'm a Mormon.
Yeah, that is something. That's a good question.
So, it goes. I'm just speaking from my own experience. I'm not believing because somebody told me. If I had my choice, I had to make a choice. Either I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. But what I'm talking about is, if I was to choose a religion, it would be the Nation of Islam for me. If I was to choose one, but I'm not choosing no religion today. Jesus Christ have touched my heart and transformed my spirit. So for a Mormon, for a Baptist, for a Catholic, you for a Muslim, for anybody, you need a new spirit. You need a transformation. And
okay,
I received my transformation.
How did your spirit change?
The Father,
no, hold on.
No man can come unto the Father except through me. That's what Jesus
said.
Toward.
How did your spirit change?
Hold on, one second,
everybody. Listen. I see some other callers that's on this line, and I already know the numbers, the ones that's been talking. And I want, if someone else that has not said anything yet on here, I want to hear what you're thinking based on what you've heard, because I know you've been on here, you've probably been listening for a while, because I see all the numbers that's on here. So, someone that has not said anything, let us hear you.
Come now to the Church of God and accept Christ. Come now. Come on. Like in the church, right?
This is Marcel Adams. I am just listening, and I'm getting my laugh on. It's crazy. So many different beliefs and so many opinions to the situation. But at the end of every day, y'all, I don't care who, what, you know, really, what you believe, how you believe. I don't care how many times the Bible was rewritten or tried to be rewritten or rewrote or whatever. At the end of the day, the Bible is right. And if you're not saved, you're going to hell. And that's that on that. You know, so we can do this all night, day, evening. But if you're not saved, then repent and repent, you're going to hell. So that's all I got to say. I love you all.
That's all right. Express yourself the way you think and how you feel. God bless you, Minister Jay. For open this up for whosoever, you know, like he evidently and hopes see that, you know, there is other souls and other people from different cultures and different personalities. We don't know who you are.
but he's giving you your freedom to speak your mind and your conviction.
No, that's not true. Now, hold on,
I'm
going to
tell you, Mr.
That's not true.
I don't want this to be your last time calling Dirty Church, because you ain't the only one that calls. Like, I mean, I want you to call again. Don't think just because if I said that if you don't believe this, you're going to hell. Don't take it to the – I want you to call back, because this is Dirty Church Radio, and this is a place where we give you a voice to speak how you feel, because we understand there are trillions, billions of people in this world. And I know that everybody don't believe the same thing. Everybody don't, you know, look at things the same way. We don't look at things from the same angle. We don't all have the same perception. So I'm not mad at you. I ain't mad at nobody.
And not only
that say whatever
iron
you say.
Sharpens iron, or the Bible says sword sharpens sword. So it's healthy. It's healthy for believers and non-believers alike to actually be in this type of open conversation and open discussion, because, you know, it gets people to talk, it gets people to think. And I know Jay's intent for the show, Minister Jay's intent, and his intent is if one life can change for the better, whether you believe or whether you don't believe, the whole point of the show is for you to take a moment out and just think. And within that moment of thinking, maybe your life could be changed in a positive way. So,
you know what I would like to see black men do is raise their families, take control of the economy in their community, so that and start businesses where they can hire their own children and stop begging white folks for every daggone thing. Because I'm telling you something, white folks created this. They probably going to be controlling heaven too, and you're going to be in their prisons. You're going to be in their damn jails. You're going to be working in the tar pits of hell and everything else.
I don't want to go to heaven.
And they lost nothing in hell.
You know what? I got to say something. Like, everybody got their little piece.
I had the phone on speaker the whole time while I was getting ready and everything. But to the man that said he wants the black people in the community to do something, whatever.
No, I said the black males.
The
they need
male.
To take right, live
okay,
up.
Let me say,
up.
Let me say, let me
stop
say,
giving
let me say
these babies
this.
And
okay,
run.
Let me say this,
take
man.
Care of.
Right. Let me say this, man. Go ahead. Let me say this. I am a black male, 35 years old, who have full custody of my three daughters. Okay? Not only that, but I'm making an impact in my community by spreading Jesus, the Jesus that I believe.
Shit.
I have people that have contacted me, and you can go on my Facebook. My name is Jarrell Williams, Jarrell Williams, and you'll see me. I have a group called Levitical Praise.
You said impact
the community. I'm telling you, I'm a black man with custody of my daughter,
Jarrell,
who represents Christ, who gives them Jesus. So you can't say that all black men, like
Jarrell,
all white men, don't do it either.
That do sound kind of crazy when you come over here and you just say that all Christians or all black males ain't doing right. You know, that's not.
Come on, that's crazy.
That's not cool at all.
Can I say something? I'm going to say something. I'm going to shut up for the rest of the night. Jarrell.
You're not going to shut up because I thought I was too.
You.
Don't you have to call back.
Listen, sweetheart. When we say our opinions, for some reason, you take it very personal, like we're saying it to you. He didn't say all black men need to step up. No, he said more black men need to step up and take care of their family. He said what black men need to do.
That's his key word. He said what black men need
to
do.
But he didn't say that. It doesn't take away from what you do as a black man for his family,
yeah,
for the community. That doesn't take away.
If I said for all women to stop being barefoot and pregnant without being married, is that what categorizing all black women?
Listen, if we're giving him a platform to make a statement and to say something, we have the right to stand up and speak for the men that are doing something.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. What I'm saying is, you take it personal because I made a comment earlier.
No, I didn't take it personal, but I'm taking it as, you can't categorize all black men or all black Christian men in the same category, because that's not right.
Well, you know, the other guest made a statement and gave the credit to God. It's not the God. It's
sister that's on the line.
You know what? This is a pure example, right here, this conversation. How we can't talk
about one another.
This is a pure example right here.
For real. Even in your tone, you can tell that you take stuff personal.
As I was saying, somebody had gave credit to God for what we'd be able to practice, and that's not true. It's the United States Constitution, which is the supreme law of this land, not a Bible, not the word of Jesus, and not no hokey-spokey Holy Ghost. If it wasn't for the Constitution, you wouldn't be able to have your churches. You wouldn't be able to have free speech. That is the most powerful law of this land.
Okay, I have a question. I have a question for all of you. Everybody says
I heard that hocus pocus too, man. I just want to let you know that, Midwest. I heard that hocus pocus. I mean, I be hearing you throw your little shot. I heard that hocus pocus though, but it ain't hocus pocus. You just ain't experienced it yet.
What do you mean I haven't experienced it? What is it that I have to experience?
Mr. J, DA, and the rest of y'all, this is Swartz. Mr. J, I got some things I got to do. It was nice talking with y'all, and I see y'all.
No, Swartz, you can't go yet. You can't go yet. We putting the handcuffs on you. You left 430 Church Radio. You can't leave yet.
All right. It's Minister J.
Yeah, you locked in. We only got 18 more minutes.
All right. I'm with you. But don't put no handcuffs on me. Black man, when we talk about the black man, we have been through enough, man. Keep them handcuffs. Keep them handcuffs. Yo, Minister J, I'm with you, man.
I want to ask Midwest. I know. Do you know?
You can call me by my name if you want to. It's Pianchi.
What is it?
It's Pianchi.
Pianchi.
What is your name?
My name is Jermaine.
But on
the show, Minister J. Miller.
My name represents land, history, and culture of my people.
Okay, let me ask you this: Were you born with that name, or was your name changed to that name?
No, that was my birth name. It's quite long.
That was your birth name?
Yes.
Okay, so your parents named you that.
Pardon me?
You were named at birth Pianchi.
My name is Pianchi Bankole Kofi Nefakara Nishi.
That's a long name.
Okay. Yeah.
As I said before, my name means land, history, and culture. Slaves and dogs are named by their masters. Only free men name themselves.
I need you to say that three times, and it matched every time.
Pianchi Bankole Kofi Nefakara Nishi. Pianchi Bankole Kofi Nefakara Nishi. I mean, more times.
Wow.
I just had to make sure that was real. I'm sorry.
As I said before, slaves and dogs are named by their master. Only free men and women name themselves.
Wow.
So you named yourself?
No, I didn't name myself. My people named me.
Okay.
So your
man, it would have been good to have Matu and Senefa on this show.
Oh, yeah. It would have been awesome.
Where they at? I don't know.
Awesome.
I got
to
get in touch.
It
would
have been great to have Shaka Zulu, too.
Who?
Shaka Zulu.
You said Shaka.
Yeah.
It would have been great to have Shaka Zulu.
Yo, let me ask this. Yo, Pianchi.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. How many, put it this way, you're in the Midwest. What part of the Midwest are you from?
St. Louis area.
St. Louis area.
That's where my
people
from. Hey, shout out.
the Missouri area. Shout out Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas.
What question you want to ask, young man?
No, I'm going to ask, like, in your religion or whatever, like, you know, the African.
I don't have no religion. I have a culture.
All right.
In our culture, homosexuality is anti-homosexuality. It has nothing to do with religion. But in some cultures, it has to do with religion. In the Old Testament, it specifically says that you're not supposed to do those things.
I have a question. Did God give us homosexuality?
That's a
whole other topic. I just have a question. Did God give us all spirits? Did God give everybody a spirit?
In other words, when you die, there's going to be some mysterious hocus pocus energy that's going to float up into the air.
No, I'm just asking.
Or what the ancient Kemetic people call the ka.
Okay, well, the inner man, the super ego, the spirit, the chi, whatever. Do everybody believe that everybody has a spirit? Do Christians believe that?
Yes.
No. I'm really asking.
Well, there's a lot of.
You're asking a question you already know, especially when it comes to Christians.
No,
you already know that.
No, I'm asking you as a person.
You know that. You know what Christians believe when it comes to the spirit. Like, you believe.
He's asking us as people on the phone. We don't assume that Christians know that.
This is where I'm at.
Yeah, but I mean, we know, like, we know him, though. I'm saying that to him because I know him, too.
But you got, Jesus said, Jesus told a man to follow him. The man said, let me go bury my father. He's dead. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. So now the dead, how can you be resurrected when you never die?
Basically everybody has a spirit, right? Okay.
Right.
If God gave everybody a spirit, the people that believe that. If God gave you the spirit, who gives you your belief?
There's a lot of things that give you your belief, your environment, circumstances that happen to you in your life, knowledge.
Circumstances like if you touch the stove, you're going to get burnt.
I got this Muslim brother, and he quoted an ayat, and the ayat that he quoted was that when you stand before Almighty God, you got to give an account for the light that was revealed unto you. So that's their belief. But, I mean, when you stand before the Almighty God, when you talk about belief, this is my opinion on the whole thing. You got to have your conviction.
Who gives you the belief? Is it people? Is it you yourself? Is it God?
No, your beliefs.
Listen, once the light
your
comes,
beliefs are influenced by people. And like the lady said, the environment you live in, the culture that you live in.
Are we talking about the Almighty?
I mean, you believe
God
that you'll go to jail if you do something wrong because you have experienced it or you know someone who has experienced it.
Which leads me back to my initial question about 30 minutes ago. You have talked about being saved and wanting to get into this heaven, but you've yet to see why I need to be saved by this Jesus, where this was introduced to me by slave masters. You have yet to tell me why I need to be saved by this Jesus.
And Christians don't believe in that. When Christians set off bombs, they put a long ass fuse on it. When Muslims set off bombs, they strap it to their body.
Well, Jay, the question applies to you. If God gave us all spirits, who gives us belief?
We have come so far from what true Christianity was supposed to be, with distorted doctrine and people's worldviews, that it's not even the same Christianity as it's supposed to be, which is love. And people fight for hours and hours and hours instead of coming together and fighting the real enemies, because it's not each other.
Somebody got to turn their phone down.
I want to ask him a question. The guy from the Midwest, what's your name?
Mr. Pianchi.
Okay.
The kids call me Coach Pianchi. I teach them this, too. They really enjoy it.
Okay, okay. In your belief and in your religion, you are...
It must be the devil.
Somebody needs to push me on their button. Somebody
are you against homosexuality?
I can't hear what you're saying, young man. Somebody,
do you agree or are you against homosexuality in your belief?
Well, the practice of homosexuality I don't believe in, especially when a black woman is married to a man and he's on the down low at the same time. He needs to be lynched.
Sir, I asked you one question. Do you believe, are you against it or are you do not agree with it?
I don't agree with it, but in this country, it's legal. Did you hear me not say I don't agree with it?
Okay, but I'm talking about your religion.
I don't have a religion.
I have a culture.
So you have a culture.
My daughters, my grandkids, they don't believe in this neither.
His name, who he is, what he created, his family, his descendants, what he believes, what he wants to teach his family.
If you knew the history of black African people, you would know exactly what my name means. You could tell where I come from. You could tell my ancestry.
Relevant.
Yo, don't he sound like Matt?
I got my hands.
Yeah, it does.
He kind of sound like Matt a little bit. Well,
they come from the same area.
Oh.
Now, the man is asking me by homosexuality. Do you understand what I'm... Do you comprehend what I'm telling you?
Yes, sir. I've been comprehending. I'm so
okay. You what?
No. I just wanted one who professes Jesus Christ to answer my question, and it seems like only the unbelievers didn't answer the question. I just wanted to know, as a believer, my question. Whoever professes Jesus Christ on the phone, can you answer the question?
Yo,
if God gives you a spirit, who gives you the belief?
Well, God, when God created, he created you with a free will. God don't make us choose nothing. It's our free
will.
That's
totally understood. My
that's
question is, who gives you the belief? That's my question. Who gives you the belief?
Like Midwest said, a lot of people build up their belief from their nationality, their culture, what they've been taught from their parents, what their parents' parents been taught. And so you could build up a belief system by your culture, your society. Like the man out there selling drugs, he built his belief system because maybe his uncle was doing it. And he seen how his uncle was living real nice. And
so,
had a lot of money.
So you're actually saying that.
You know what I mean? So
people,
your culture makes your belief. Your community makes your belief.
So
coming up
so
as a
culture,
kid.
Community, all of that stuff gives people their beliefs. Jay, do you agree with him?
It creates
some,
a belief. Wait, hold up. To some degree.
Did y'all believe
all,
in Santa Claus when you was a kid?
Wait. I just want to finish my point. Go ahead, Jay.
No, what I'm saying is like this. When it comes to God with me, all right, we all know
just
that
my question.
Here. What you mean? Let me answer my question the way I'm going to answer it. Like, let me answer it. Yeah, I am going
to
answer it, but I'm not telling you how to ask the question.
He asked
okay,
the question, man. You give him an answer. Come on.
Yeah, listen. Put it this way, man. I believe, personally, it's something. I believe that God gives every man a measure of faith. I believe in every person that's born, there is something on the inside of them that gives them some type of glimpse of God, something greater than themselves. So I say it has a lot of influence with your surroundings and things you come in contact, you experience, but I believe it boils down to the individual, to the person.
So you're saying that belief and a spirit comes from God.
I believe it's something in the person that confirms. It's something on the inside that confirms what you believe based on the Creator.
within you.
And you say you believe, but you're not. You believe, but you're not positively sure.
You know what I'm saying? I believe. I
understand. Believing is not being positively sure.
Can I say this? Hold on, let me say this. I started out believing. I tried what I felt, and so I believed. And when I tried it, that's when it became my reality to me, when I tried it.
The belief comes from the person. Because that's where believer comes from. Because I don't know the exact scripture, but the Bible says a certain person said, "God, I do believe, but help my unbelief."
So let me ask all of you real quick question.
Get it from.
Let me ask you a real quick question. How many of y'all believed in Santa Claus when you were little?
Not me. I did.
No, wait a minute now. Believers believe in Santa Claus, but what happens?
What happens to them when they finally realize
Santa Claus was just a fake?
Man, it was grown up for me, man. I was falling accepting fairy tales.
But
really, at the end of the day,
before time is too late.
At the end of the day, as long as the gifts kept coming, it really ain't matter.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? I was hiding behind the TV, man. Then I went to sleep and woke up. The pops done put all the toys out. He got me a couple of times until I grew up, and man, ain't no Santa Claus. Let my kids
and the
know
reason why
after you
the
grew
reason
up,
why we accept the reason why we accept there is no Santa Claus is because reason and logic comes into play. And you know, a man who lives in the North Pole cannot reach it to your house and back in 24 hours.
Well, let me tell you something about reason and logic. If you know the history, especially the history of black people, there's many places in that Bible that are just not true. 2
yes.
Kings 19 and 35 is one of them. 2 Kings 19, 2 Kings 19,
first
chapter,
Kings,
second
King.
Second, 19 chapter, 35th verse. Historically, that is not true.
First Kings. 2 Kings.
19th chapter. What verse?
35.
It's amazing how you know so much about the Bible but don't believe in it.
And mister, I
you
know history. Wait a minute. Let me tell him something. I know history. I spent 8 years in Egypt, from Cairo to the northern Sudan border, going in and out of temples and tombs and pyramids. I know history.
I've been in Egypt, Ethiopia,
West Africa, Benin, Senegal, Gambia, Ghana, Togo.
You said 2 Kings 19:35. It reads, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses.
Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
You tell me. You said,
well, the Assyrians. The Assyrians. The Assyrians.
Listen, in the Midwest, what's your name before this call ends?
Bianchi.
Spell it, please, sir. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Listen, everyone out there right now, the show, we're about to go off live. But anyone who wants to stay just for a little bit after online, it'll be on, the whole show will be on the on-demand version of the show. But it's 51 minutes left on live on the air. So right now, I just want to just say, this is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Daughter Church Radio. I'd like to thank everyone who tuned in to our show live. Listen, we got a lot of other great shows that's going to be coming up. It's going to be hot, a lot of different issues that we're going to talk about. And like we say here on Dirty Church Radio, no, Dirty Church Radio. No issue or no topic is out of bounds. Listen, we appreciate you. We love you. Listen, please call in. Spread the word about Dirty Church Radio. And you can even email us. You can send emails at goddrum77@gmail.com. If there's any topics that you would want to hear talked about, just send it in there. And listen, until then, God bless you all. Have a good night. Now, listen, we're still on the air right now. Yeah, I'm letting everyone on here. We're still on, but we're just not live.
Hey, thanks,
right now,
man. You got a good show.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you, man. I thank you for calling,
yeah,
man. I really
appreciate
yeah,
for calling
man,
in.
We enjoy you coming on, speaking your mind. You know, if sometimes we need a pull up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I got four boys, man. They need me. My whole object and my goal is to make myself available so that they don't follow in the footsteps that I did before I transformed or before I changed or before I found this new life in Christ. I mean, I do got a past.
Well,
and so, you know, history is important, and my little black sons, man, they going to follow in my footsteps.
If it's Christ that makes you do right about your son, I agree with you. You got to use whatever you got to use.
Praise him. Can I get your name there, please?
My name's Pianki.
P-I-A-N-K-I.
Yeah, so if it's Christ that you are using to help you to walk right and to be the right type of man figure for your children, your son, I commend you for that.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie, man. Had I not receive the transformation through Christ, man, I really wouldn't know. I probably would be dead right with my family, man. That's the God's honest truth. I don't know where I would be because the life I was living, man, was so chaotic and, you know, negative that I was your average, you know, running around, ain't making nothing happen, ripping and running the streets, trying to be a so-called gangster, man. Really,
don't you know what the problem was?
Bianki,
tell
your
name
again.
The problem was that black society let you down.
Bianki,
yeah,
black,
so,
tell your name again.
P-I-A-N-K-I.
So,
in ancient times,
you know,
it was spelled P-I-Y-E.
Is that the way it's on Facebook?
Yes, Pianki. Pianki Bencole.
Okay.
Pianki Bencole
we'll
on
you
Facebook.
Too, man, because I want you, because I even have a Dirty Church Radio forum, too, on Facebook, man. You can, like, you know, read different
Bencole
statements.
Bencole,
B-A-N-K-O-L-E.
Yeah.
Spell that again, the last name?
B-A-N-K-O-L-E, Bencole.
B-N.
B-A-N-K-O-L-E.
Bencole.
Well, listen, man, I hope all of y'all can call in, man, tomorrow evening if you can't. But just know there's a show, we're doing a show tomorrow, and the topic is going to be the fool and the wise man. That's going to be the name of the topic that we're going to talk about tomorrow. And
well, look,
time is
I'm over it.
9
you,
o'clock?
Huh? No, tomorrow is Friday. I'm going on like about, it's going to be late. Y'all might be asleep, I don't know, but I'm going on like about 10:30. About 10:30.
Okay.
Between 10:30, probably yeah, like 10:30 tomorrow. I'm going on tomorrow. We're going to do that
like
show tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, man, definitely. And,
yeah,
because
I got
to just know, man, you're welcome
right
to come
now
on the show anytime, man. Anytime. Anytime. Regardless, like I said, Dirty Church ain't scared.
Hey, listen.
What anyone got to say,
name,
man?
Jay, what's your sister name?
The sister name,
on?
I know. D knows her.
What's her name?
D A knows
her.
Her
name
I
is.
Don't, I don't
her
know.
Name her name is Tisha.
Say that again.
Tisha. T as in Timothy.
Oh, Tisha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, I just want to say this is sport. I appreciate all of y'all, even you, D A, all of y'all. But I have to move on. And
even me,
by God's grace, you know, I'll talk with y'all tomorrow.
and maybe we can inspire somebody else not to be a fool, but to be wise. Either way you choose to use your wisdom, you know what I mean? They say a wise man could play a fool, but a fool could never play a wise man. I got to go, but I love you guys, man, and I'll talk with y'all soon.
All right, okay, take care, man.
We'll
talk
to you soon,
man.
Yeah. All right. This is Jarrell. I'm really out this time, too. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to South Carolina, so those who believe in prayer, please pray my safe travels.
I will, but...
Well, how are you traveling?
I'm driving.
Well, let me give you some advice. Rather than praying, check the air pressure on your tires, make sure the engine oil level is up, and make sure you got plenty of gas in your tank.
I did all that.
Well, you're a step ahead of a lot of...
That's why I said those that believe in prayer.
Yeah, those that believe, man. So we got you, man. I'm going to pray for you. But, yo, Jarrell, I told you, right, that it would be hard for you to just hang up and not call back, man. Like, it's hard to leave Dirty Church Radio once you get going, man. I'm telling
man,
you.
Man, I mean, it's good. I love to hear people's opinions. I love to hear, you know, what the, you know, the other side, should I say, of, you know, we are believers, you know, the unbelievers. I love to hear their point of view on things. Because honestly, man, what's your name? Deiki? What's your name?
My name is Tianki.
Tianki. I want to say thank you to you, because what you did was push me to go study harder.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
well,
you pushed me to study
harder.
Yeah,
that's one thing that we don't do. And then you can't. You have to study history, the history of black African people, which is older. There's nothing that can stand up against it. Nothing. No, for instance, like Immaculate Conception, Hatshepsut was born of an Immaculate Conception. The god Amun was tired of mixed marriages. He wanted a pure solo child. Then somebody else had...
Do you read the... What is it called? The
Yeah, I'll let y'all. Keep me in prayer.
All right, be careful.
Man.
Thank you.
Yo, D,
I know what
yo,
book
D,
you're
man,
about
what's
to
the
say?
Name
you're
of that
to...
book, man, that Matthew would talk about a lot?
I don't even remember.
Man, it's a lot of books. It's one thing to read, but when you go...
I know it. The Medinetu.
The Medinetu.
Yeah, Medinetu is a holy word. That's the holy writing. The first holy writing. Out of it comes the basis of all Western religion thought. Matter of fact, all religions, really. I mean, common sense says somebody had to be first. If the ones on this call were to go out and build a car, an automobile tomorrow, we would not build a Model T Ford. We would build off of what we have today. So that's what other ethnic groups done too. They build off of what somebody else had to create what they needed to work for themselves. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Okay.
True.
I know we still, I see, it's another caller that's been on the phone. I'm not going to say who it is, but I know they've been listening a long time, man. I would love for them to say something, but I guess they just want to be quiet tonight. So I ain't going to, you know, put them out there.
It might
but
be somebody calling back from the coffin, man.
Could be.
They're alive and well. They ain't from the coffin. But next time I see him on the line here, I'm going to have to be, I'm going to mention him. I ain't going to let him get away with it. For real. But I know who you are. I'm looking right at your number. For real. Yeah,
I
want to
know who it is.
I know who it is. But, yo, man, I'm going to tell you, just know when you call on the show, regardless of how different tones of voices get and everything, we all good, man. Like, we created this show for that. So it don't matter how you come across. The only thing that we say, we don't want nobody cussing on the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. You got to respect.
Yeah, we got to respect.
We get excited.
That's my thing.
It's son getting excited. But see, here's the point. Mm-hmm. See, everybody haven't had the opportunity that I have had in my lifetime. But I'm supposed to share what I know to people if they want to accept it or not, but it saves you a lot of money for doing all that traveling and stuff and being out in 140-degree weather.
Okay. So what type of books do you read, man? What type of books? What's the most current type of books you read? You've been reading.
You know, one of reading is one of my greatest attributes, but the best thing that I'm able to read is read people. Now, my personal library is over 2,000 volumes.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of literature. That's a lot.
All right, so I have this question for you. My question is, when did you arrive with the acceptance of whatever you accept to be true or believe, even from coming down from the history of, you know, black people and, you know, and what you accept to be true as a culture? Like,
this
when did
taught,
that come? What
this
age?
This is what was taught to me as a child, passed down generation after generation.
So you have no choice.
No, that's
your actual parents taught you this?
Yeah, that's your parents. I mean, when a boy child is born in African societies, and not all of them, but some, I can think of one, the Dagara and Burkina Faso, the boy is put with the grandfather. He's not put with the father. The father was just a boy 2 months ago. He's put with the grandfather because the grandfather is the larger volume of knowledge. Plus, the baby is just came. The baby is coming from where the grandfather is about ready to go back to. That's why they don't abort children there, because they know that the womb is a portal for the ancestors to come back into this life.
So you accept basically in a form of reincarnation.
Reincarnation.
Well, that's what they call it. I have seen witness pregnant women in rituals where the baby has spoke through the mother's mouth. The baby tells them who they are, why they're coming back, and what they need to have done, have prepared for them.
So my question to you is, if you actually accept that to be true, if you accept that to be true, but then you say...
No, I witnessed it, brother.
I
was there where it was happening.
And you accept that to be true, and somebody who actually...
There was no microphones or hidden tape recorders or nothing. It was...
Okay, that's why I'm asking you. You would call crazy something that Jay accepts to be truth, which is the Holy Spirit. You would call that gibberish crazy, and you would expect that he isn't, you know, being totally honest with himself. Now, why doesn't that apply back to you?
Well, see, because I go back to the source, and these ritual traditions have been going on for aeons. But with us, with Christianity, we learned Christianity was not in West Africa when we started being taken from there. Christianity came down in the 1800s with Stanley and Livingston. There wasn't no Stanley and Livingston back in 1555.
So basically, you accept your religion, or not religion, but you accept your truths to basically trump any other believer's truths.
Like I mentioned in 2 Kings 19 and 35, that was a historical battle, but it didn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go see the individuals, the statues of the individuals. The Cushites. Yeah, you can go see remnants of the Cushites today. Cushites with a K, not a C.
So do you believe that the first thing people should have asked you, honestly, is what do you believe and why? Now, my question is, do you actually believe in a God? He said he doesn't have a belief.
I don't believe in what people believe today, especially the Bible God. No, I don't believe in that.
No, I'm not saying that. He's saying that he believes in a form of
I believe based on our
reincarnation.
Culture. Well, a lot of people believe in that. I mean, when the baby is born, they pass the baby through the village. You may not see your baby till hours or even the next day. But people look at it and that's why it's come a child not named on the first day. Because people have opportunity to look at this child and say who it is.
So do you think Jesus walked on the water?
No, he might have walked on ice.
So do you believe that the prophet Elijah Muhammad, do you believe that he went to heaven on the winged horse?
Elijah Muhammad. You mean Elijah, the prophet Elijah?
I apologize, yes, the prophet Elijah.
Well, do you believe that Enoch went to heaven without dying?
No, I'm asking you. I mean, because I may not accept what Minister Jay says or what you say, so that's why I'm asking you.
No, I don't believe that. Here's another thing.
Let me ask you this question. Now, let me ask you this. Before you actually seen the baby speak through the mother's mouth, right?
Yeah.
How would you have looked at that? Like, before you actually seen it, what would you have said concerning that if you would have been told that?
Yes, I believe it, because there's a lot of other things I could tell you about what I've witnessed and experienced that you just don't have enough time.
I'm talking about before you witnessed it.
Yes, I believe it. I have no reason to. Why would I have reason for somebody to tell me a lie?
Why
I mean,
believe
it's coming from this society.
Like that? No, what I'm saying,
this would be the question. The question basically is, if you believe those things because you said you have no reason not to believe it, because most of them you have witnessed, or all of them you have witnessed, what is different about
because my grandfather told me, my grandfather told me that he knew me in the womb too.
And I'm quite sure Jay has had ministers and preachers and bishops and deacons tell him the same thing, but just dealing with Jesus, in the sense of Jesus. So what makes yours trump theirs? What makes
Pianchi is here. When that baby is born, that baby is here.
Uh-huh. But who actually created that? Like, who started that? Where was the first start of that?
That belief, that practice?
Yeah.
That's been in the Dagara tribe for a long, long time. They do not believe in the God that y'all believe in.
No, so
even the writers, even the people of the first five books in what you call the Old Testament was not called, Christians called that Old Testament. People in Gondor, it was not Pentateuch, is Greek. The people in Gondor, Ethiopia, who they call the Falasha today, they don't practice, they only go by those first five books. They don't go with the rest of that stuff because it's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
It was added on and people took it for themselves. And they have a right to do that.
If you believe, who actually started your belief?
Pardon me?
Who started this question?
Where did it originate from? Who were the first two or the first one or the first beginning of your belief?
Who was the first beginning?
Of your belief, yes.
I began to get my knowledge from my parents.
Yes, and
the men in my family.
So my question is, where did it originate from? Did it originate
It has been passed down, yes.
Okay. So it's been passed down. Who were the first people who passed it down, or were they people?
Who were the first people that passed it down? Well, that would be going back beyond what I could recollect. We're talking about going back maybe a millennia or more.
Okay. So you actually believe that there was a beginning, and how did that beginning,
beginning
happen?
There's more than one God, and the oldest story of a creator is that of Ptah.
Okay.
At times, the beginning was called Zeptedi. Zeptedi.
So where did your personal religion pass on from your family, CFM, where did it originate from?
Based on my historical name, going back into what they call the Northern Sudan, they believe in Ptah as the creator of the universe. Ptah said, when I came into existence, existence itself came into existence.
Okay. So you're saying that Ptah is actually the true God and the Christian God or Muslim God.
No, I said he was the creator of the universe. Now, there's more than one universe. You know that, don't you?
Okay. I'm honestly being inquisitive because I want to know what you believe.
Ptah was the oldest subject to be considered as the creator of the universe. I mean that's quite natural. I mean, certainly all of some ethnic groups came along behind others.
Mm-hmm. So your beginning trumps a Christian's beginning.
Well, as far as beginning, as far as chronological from a historical standpoint, yes, Christianity is one of the last to come on. There's been 25 of the saviors, that's crucified saviors that the world in history has known stories. Jesus is the last one.
Yes, it's true. So, but why would somebody accept what you believe to be true when it's just as ridiculous as the other one?
No, well, they do it because of a chronological point of view. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
They do
yes,
it from
I do.
Chron.
I
mean,
I want to
1964
right.
came before 1975.
Now you seen a baby talk through its. I'm back there. You seen a baby talk through a mother.
The mother's
right?
mouth. Yes.
A mother's mouth. Now let me ask you this: when it comes to seeing things like that, what is the most unreal thing that you have seen based in your culture? That would be considered someone outside of your culture would be like, wow, nah, I don't believe that.
Well, I personally come from a family that have experienced things like that. You know, my grandfather told me him and his brothers heard a baby crying in the woods, and they walked over to find, you know, where the noise was coming. They set a baby on a log, and he picked the baby up and held it in his arm, walked back to the house, walked in the kitchen where his wife was cooking, and tried to hand the baby to the wife, and the baby wouldn't let go. And the wife told him, you go put that baby back where you found it. So, you know, there's all kinds of stories that things that people have experienced. You know, the further we get away from that, the less possible you are to tap into those type of realities. But
right.
I can tell you a whole lot of stories.
Like, you can tell me a lot of stories, right? So why
well, I can tell you a lot of things. That not, well, let me,
on the
let me
water.
Wait a minute, not stories. I'm talking about a lot of things that have happened. My daughter's husband passed away. And at the, you know how they come over the house, people be, you know, eating and so forth. But the kid's in the living room. Kid came in and say, Mama is the man in the living room. He's sitting in the chair. So they believe that was his spirit that came back. Spirits do, you know, people, before they go into the upper realm, things like that do happen.
So you believe that
right.
there is an upper realm?
Well, I think there's
when
a...
die,
I think
where do you believe they go?
I think there's, you know, talking from a scientific point of view, because I do believe that there's ability to travel in time. I think you can go back in time. I think you can go forward into time. I mean, that's been... proven in very ragged ways. There's a lot about us that we don't know.
If that can happen, now we've never seen nobody travel in time, right? Have you ever seen it happen?
Well, no, nobody that I know of have seen it happen.
That
but
you
I know people
traveling in time, right?
Well, right.
That don't mean it's not true, right? That don't mean that it's not possible, right?
Yeah, but as far as Jesus is concerned, there's a history. As far as what you're talking about, that was many people with the name of what Jesus really means. I mean, it's a common name, just like William or Brown. But that particular one that you talk about in the New Testament, you can go and see when this thing came together.
Now, Jay, hold on, Jay. I have a question for you. Jay, do you know someone or have you heard of someone? Testifying or witnessing saying that God has literally or Jesus has literally spoke to them. Do you know people that have said that to you in your past? Or you've heard people say that? God literally or an angel really came to me?
No, yo, We both probably heard people that just being say that.
Yeah, no, no, no. I'm saying. Okay. So, my question to Tanaka is, what actually makes yours true and their experience is not true?
Because a woman is standing there with a big old belly, and after a period of time, what's in that belly come out?
So, if someone said that Jesus actually spoke to them,
some people hear voices in their head.
So what makes you think that yours is another voice inside your head?
I didn't say that when people hear something in their head that something's wrong with them. I said that I stick to the content. There's never been a man of any race, creed, or color ever walked the earth by the name of Jesus Christ.
No. But my question to you is, what trumps your belief system and your beginnings to the ones of a Christian?
Because they come before. Christians built theirs off of ours.
Okay, now, you know this because of history?
Oh, yes, they even tell you, yes. From a historical context, yes. Who is Christians? Who are Christians?
Christians are the ones who proclaim Jesus Christ, given
what ethnicity are they? Where do they begin?
They begin a lot of places, but the
don't say
actual,
Hebrew, because Hebrewism and Christianity is two different things.
No, I did not say Hebrew. I said
Paul
Christianity that we accept to be true today.
Do you know from a chronological
Paul,
you know from a chronological point of view which ones came first and which ones came last?
Yes, I do.
Well,
Christian
name them.
Being,
it's four of them. Name them to me.
Christian being that of a very, very, very young religion, a young belief system, and I'm quite sure, which I don't know too much information from your belief for religion, probably came
first. From a historical point of view, the last one is Islam. Before
okay.
that was Christianity. Before that it was Judaism with an I, not a J.
Mm-hmm.
And before that it was Yahwehism.
Okay. And what was before that?
Well, you know, 2 Kings 19:35, the Assyrians, who was led by Sennacherib, their god was Ashar.
So
and Hezekiah was worried to death because the Assyrians was wiping out everything in their path. He tried to make allegiance with the Egyptians.
Yeah, so you just basically traded in one belief for another belief.
No,
and
it's not a belief. This is a historical.
Yeah, history based on belief. Because
no, history
belief.
You can go see them today. It's written in stone.
It doesn't matter whether it's written or whether it's not written. You, yourself, cannot attest to the first situation or first thing to happen, so you believe it to be true. You don't know it firsthand. You weren't there.
But what you're saying, how does what I base mines off of trump the others?
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, chronologically, it was the first that ever exists.
So you're saying just because it's the first means that it's right?
Well, just because yours is the last, how can you relate that to being right?
Because I'm not saying mine is Christianity. I'm just asking you questions. Not one time did you hear me say I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a Muslim. Not one time, you know. So I'm
either one of those became, you know, whether it's Islam or Christianity. So people say that, you know, people have a right to say it, but just because theirs came last and next to last, what makes theirs more holier or more authentic than the one that came first?
No, and I'm not saying that to be true. I'm saying, why is either one of theirs true? Why can't both of theirs be wrong?
Well, why did the one copy off the other?
Because
Hebrews never had no schools. They never had their alphabet is that of the Kemetic alphabet, symbol for symbol.
Yes. And you believe that, and you have found it out to be true based on your evidence, your personal evidence that you've actually experienced.
Well, you can see the alphabet today. It's practically exactly. They had no schools. They had to go someplace and learn, just like the Greeks did.
But that still has nothing to do with based on your belief and what's different between or what makes yours better than the last or what does the last. Why can't
the last copied off something that was before it?
Yeah.
Before the one, like the guy was talking about the meta nature, there exists nothing before that.
Okay.
So you're saying nothing existed before yours?
It was the first alphabet. I mean, the first written language.
I'm just asking you.
As far as man knows today,
what makes that right? What makes yours right? What if they got it wrong? And the second one got it right. Even if they copied, maybe they evolved and fixed things that they thought to be right in yours. That found out that it was wrong.
Well, they said so. The latter ones themselves said so. Themselves.
So my question is, what if both of you are wrong? Well,
you
still the first or last or middle. And I know you are saying by chronologically. You are saying by order, by right, because I'm first, I must have gotten it right. And the reason why the second or last copied from me is because I got it right.
So maybe the Genesis God is probably wrong. Jesus is wrong too, right? Did not Jesus say that he come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? He didn't come for all the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, he did say that.
So who is the lost sheep? The lost sheep of the house of Israel is not everybody. Yahweh said that my son is Israel. My first and only son is Israel. He didn't say that his first and only son was Jesus.
Okay. And hey.
So was Yahweh right or wrong?
Yahweh was right or wrong. I don't know. I'm asking you, what if he was wrong? And what if Tanakh was wrong? Or Tanakh? What if both of those beliefs are wrong? What if what you believe is just as crazy as what Christians and Muslims believe?
But Yahweh comes before. But Yahweh comes before Jesus.
Everybody is wrong, and the Christian is right. And you wind up in hell, burning with fire.
And you wind
up
burning.
If the Christian was right, why did he copy off of everybody else? That's what I ask. Come on now. So if the Christian is right, that means that who he copied off of is right because he didn't even copy it word for word.
What if everybody just goes off of no type of religion or belief system in some type of
that would be perfectly fine. Matter of fact, I think that would be cool. You know, I used to put up buildings as a profession, you know, like the one that fell in 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I erected structures. My
faith
company,
Jesus is right.
My own company, I own a erected structure steel buildings.
Okay.
We didn't put them buildings up based on fact. I mean, faith. We put them buildings up based on facts.
Yeah, and
information that we had accumulated from previous times was applied to when we put up
exactly.
the next building.
So you actually
that was fact,
your,
not faith. We don't put up
yes.
something and hope it don't fall down.
Yes.
No, we
true.
Put it up and make
mm-hmm.
sure that it don't.
So you base your knowledge on probability. That's what you base your knowledge on. Probability, reason, and logic. That's
and putting up buildings?
On. Yes, yes, exactly, because you just like you said, you don't.
No,
put up
we don't. We don't. No, we don't put up buildings based on our probability. We put up buildings. We know what we're doing. When we
yeah,
put them up, we know
no,
what
listen,
we're doing.
Listen,
there's nothing.
Yeah,
there's no. There's
probable.
Nothing mysterious. No, it's
no,
not no probability. There's
yes,
nothing mysterious about what we do.
Listen, it is probability. Just like it's probability for the sun to come up every morning. It's probability because chances are it will happen. We only base, science only base its knowledge on previous science. It only based its knowledge on previous facts before that. So, yes, you're basing everybody, everything we do is based on
I don't spend over 40 years putting up structure steel buildings. You're going to tell me How many buildings have how many 20-story buildings have you ever put up in your life?
I'm not saying that.
How many bridges across rivers have you erected in your life?
It's still based on probability.
It's based on facts.
Yes, facts based on probability. You can ask any scientist.
We're not driving cars.
Any mathematician. You can ask anybody.
We don't have scientists in putting up buildings. We don't need scientists to do that.
Excuse me?
We don't need scientists to put up buildings.
What do you think everything we know is based on?
I do not need science. Scientists don't come into play when I put up a building.
You don't think that's a form of science? You don't think math is a form of science?
I do not have to concur to a scientist when I put up a building.
Okay. So you don't have to measure. You don't have to measure. You don't have to go follow measurements and things like that when you put up buildings.
Well, yes, you have measurements that you have to follow.
Okay.
They're right there on the blueprints.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, but don't you have to add measurements and compare measurements to other measurements?
No, not really,
no. To make sure
no.
things are level? Don't you have to use a plumb line to level things to make sure things are
accurate? Well, plumb lines are not used to level things. Plumb lines are used to make sure things are plumb, just like it says. It is perpendicular with the gravity surface of the earth.
Well, my whole point is it's all based on probability. Everything we actually even history is everything is based on probability. What's likely to happen? That's where we get facts from. But with that being said, my question to you is, if you actually accept things to be true based on facts, why do you believe what you believe?
Why do I believe what I believe?
Yes.
I've told you how many times I have to tell you.
Because you're saying that it was first.
You can go see these things today. You can go in the Temple of Dendera that's so popularly named. And you can see a 25,000-year calendar.
Okay.
A 25,000-year calendar. That means it's accurate. Their God built the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh day. Well, my people had 10-day calendars.
So you're saying yours is true based on what? Based on facts that you've actually experienced the Creator?
How many days do we not have? 365 and a quarter days, a little bit, give a little bit and take a little bit days in a year.
Have you seen your Creator?
Have I seen my Creator?
Yes. Have you seen your Creator?
The Creator of the universe,
yes.
I have never seen. But Tsar Ra, the Son of God, is written all over the temples. Actually, the Son of God is within you.
So, if you haven't seen that, then how do you know it to be true and it being based on fact? If you personally haven't seen it, nor have
you seen statues. We have statues of Ptah, which was made in his creation. We have statues of Ahmosis, dazzling sun.
Did you see the people who actually created those statues? Did you experience it? Did you witness it?
No, they not know. That's the same way when white folks said black folks got tails.
So my question is,
they never called it idolatry. Somebody else called it idolatry. People that invaded and came in uninvited called it that.
Did you experience it? Did you experience the people who actually created, the first person who actually created the statue?
No, I wasn't there at that time, but the evidence is there.
How do you know that statue is the statue of that person?
Because his name is on it.
And? That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yes, it does. The Potomac Shrine.
Let's say if no one ever seen you, and like let's say we're in our time right now, and I create a statue, but I make it look like D.A., but I put your name on it and say that it's you.
You just said you never seen me.
No, I'm talking about the people that's going to see it later on, years to come from now. I make a statue and make it look like D.A. But I put your name, Pianchi, on it, but it looks like him.
And he's seen me before.
Well, see, they know the real Pianchi and don't look like D, this other gentleman.
Just imagine right now.
2,000
people
years
in my
now,
family. Wait a minute, people in my family line would know that that's not me.
Not 2,000 years from now.
Pardon me.
2,000 years from now. Let's say we create the statue today, right? And it's seen 2,000 years from now. But I created it with Aaron's face, but I put Pianchi's name on it.
Yeah.
How would they know? How would they know that it's you? But they're looking at his feature. They're looking at his face, but your name is on it.
No, well, you know, people are fooled for any information at some point because they're lazy. They don't do the homework. They are what we call armchair scholars. They don't get out in the field, but the evidence is there. The evidence of those civilizations, they still exist today.
You basically just trumped your religion or your belief or your acceptance of the truth over there with the same type of evidence that they have. You just believe that
first. Listen, theirs came last. They don't have any evidence about Jesus Christ carved in stone. It's all on paper. Where did that come from?
Whether it's carved on paper,
it does make a difference.
Stone.
Just like the Willie Lynch letter.
What's the difference between paper
just like the Willie Lynch letter. They saying that the words that's in the Willie Lynch letter was not used in that time in history. Words we use today was not used for 60 years ago. 60 years ago, words was not used the way they are used 60 years ago, back 100 years before that. All sorts of evidence is out there.
But my question to you is, isn't yours just as ridiculous as theirs?
No, it's not, because it was first. There's nothing that predates it that we know of.
You seen somebody that used to live before that died, that came back out of a mother's womb, and you expect me not to think you are as crazy as any other religion that's out there?
Because, you know, black African people still hold that
now,
practice.
Now, see, me personally, I would not want you, nor do I want somebody who thinks, you know, a man went to heaven on a winged horse to actually hold my life in your hands, because I would think you're insane. There's something wrong with you.
Well, on the downtown skyline is my evidence, and people in and out of them all day long. They drive across bridges, and they have not been injured.
So how come I don't see this actually taught and actually being on the news, if it's so true and your creator and everything that you're actually experiencing, why isn't it known?
Who tells your history? Where did black folks come from? Are you, what are you? What is your ethnicity?
I'm Jewish.
You believe in Judaism?
No, I don't. I don't accept Judaism to be true.
Well, Jewish is a person. Last week I was a Jew. Jewish is a person that follows Judaism.
Okay, well I would actually.
There's no biological person born a Jew.
I would actually call myself.
But what are you?
An agnostic. That's what I would call myself.
That's not no ethnicity. That's a belief or not. What is your ethnicity?
Exactly.
What is it?
I just told you.
Where did you hail from?
Actually, I was hailed from Virginia.
Virginia. So you're Virginian. Are you white?
Yes.
Are you Caucasian?
I'm mixed.
Caucasian like the Boston Bombers. Thomas Jefferson?
No, I'm Jew. My mother was Jewish and my father was black.
Yeah, but where were they from? Jewish is not a biological person. I mean, people are not born Jews. There's Italians, there's Frenchmen, okay?
Uh-huh. Well, my
there's
my,
Ghanaians, there's Nigerians, ain't no ethnic group called no. I mean,
so who would the
call,
tribe
but
of
they
Israel?
Have.
Who would the tribe of Israel be right now if you was to trace each tribe like?
There was
Judah,
no historical.
The
there was
no.
Well,
no, no, no
there
no,
was
hold,
no
hold,
geographical
no, no.
place called Israel. Go ahead.
But
I was asking him a
Hebrew,
question.
Hebrew descent. My mother is.
Hebrew is
descent.
A language.
Okay.
Hebrew
so
was a language.
That's what I know from my parents.
Whoever spoke Hebrew was a language. And I guess people that spoke Hebrew, they called themselves. They were something else before that.
My mother actually came from Palestine, I believe. Some of her family came from Palestine.
Your mother came from Palestine. Where did your father come from?
Virginia.
You're not black, neither are you. No, you're not black. You're not no black. You're not of slave descent.
No, my father's black. Yeah, my father's black.
Your father's black. Where did he come from?
Yeah.
I mean, how much black? What is he like Obama? I'm not saying Obama's a mulatto.
No,
nobody wants to use that word.
No. He's black. He's a black man. Like,
where
was
he from? There's no landmass called black. There's no landmass called black. Where is he from?
Well, from what I know, his family originated from Virginia.
Well, he don't know where he's from.
Okay, well, that may be so. What's your point? How come your belief isn't as crazy?
Because he knows where he's from. That's what he's saying. Because he knows where he's from, and he can trace his people to his land where he's from. So that makes him be able to trump you because you don't know where you're from.
But whether he was
that
he
in a nutshell, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Trace your name back. Where did your name go back into? Your name go back?
I haven't the slightest idea. Probably a slave name.
Yeah. Mine don't.
Okay. And because yours don't, you say that your belief is better than.
Now you just trace your. What's the? You trace the white side of your name to? Your lineage. Do you give them credit? Why not?
I don't give any because I'm an agnostic. I don't accept any of this stuff.
No, I'm not saying religious wise. I'm talking about ethnicity, right? DNA wise. Do you accept and give homage to, if in case there is, the white side like Obama? Obama gives homage to his white mother and his lackadaisia, a Kenyan father.
Yeah, I actually give knowledge to who they are and where they come from, but do I praise it? Do I give it, you know, any type of
So why
you know,
do you call yourself a Jew? When a person asks you your ethnicity, you say Jew. Now you know Jewish is not an ethnicity. It's not on the census.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Well, why would you try? Are you trying to fool people or what?
No, I'm not trying to fool
anybody.
Is
that what you were taught?
Yeah, that's basically what I was. If somebody asked me, So, but it still applies. I mean, I don't necessarily. I just say that because of the world that I live in, and people usually tend to be familiar with categorizing. So, my question to you is:
that's by like the Zionists in Palestine today, which was first named. Well, you know, Palestine used to be. And I believe in Palestine. Zionists over there taking those people land, which is really wrong. But they using these assumptions, political assumptions, to do what they're doing. And that's wrong.
Yeah, but okay, and that's all well and good, you know, getting on the political side and the physical side. But we're talking about belief systems here. And I'm saying that I would not follow your outrageous.
Well, you're not supposed to follow my religion because it's not for you. Do you understand? Just like the God of the Old Testament was not for everybody.
Yes. But
it was for the people that created it.
Let me ask you this. People that don't follow you or don't your way, since your way is the right way.
I'm not saying my way is the right way for me.
Okay, so you say so
you
are
a black man. What's your ethnicity? What's your ethnicity, if I may ask?
No, let me ask you this. I'm a black man. I was born here in America. My roots from my father's side of the land, of my last name, my father, consists of the God boats. Now, you could trace that name back to plantations. Plantations back, if you look at the name God boat, you could go online, it's thousands, it's a whole bunch of names.
How about
last
your mother?
Name, God boat. Now, my mother's name,
he got you. He
is more
you.
Indian.
He got you in there.
No, listen. My mother and them, they have, is more Indian in their blood. You know what I'm saying? And it's probably mixtures or whatever. My mother has, like, the Indian long hair. My father.
He got you. He got you.
And my
he
grandfather. Say that again?
No, I say he trapped you. Because we're not talking about that. We're just talking about belief.
Yeah.
We're not talking about
anything.
Yeah,
my thing is like this. Right now, yeah, we can't trace you. Not.
If your
way.
Father, if your mother was Indian, she didn't believe in no, the Indians didn't believe in no Jesus.
But the thing
so you
about,
just took
the
you
thing
have
about
you
me.
Have recently taken this on. Am I right?
No. What? Salvation,
your mama was
Jesus?
Wrong. Your mother was wrong.
My mother was wrong?
Yeah, what Indian
I
tribe
told
was
you
she
you
from?
No,
what
no,
Indian tribe was she
my
from?
Mother has in, no, no, my mother has Indian. Her, my mother is a black woman, but I'm just letting you know whatever mixture there is. Because listen, let me tell
do you know which
in
one?
America,
because it makes a difference. Which one? Which Indian tribe?
I believe it's Cherokee. I believe
Cherokee
I believe
had
so.
Slaves. The Indian tribes at the beginning of the sea had slaves. Cherokee,
yo, listen,
Chickasaw.
Hold up. What you got to understand, yo, I'm not denying. I know.
Cherokee did not believe
I
in Jesus. Wait a minute. Let me finish. See, this is where, let's get this point. Cherokee did not believe in Jesus. They had their own God. So what you believe
it's
in
it's
is something that
you
have.
It's not about just what they believe. Jesus, man. When it comes to Christ, man.
Let me tell you what I said.
Them.
See, now
it's
you now you skipping. Now you jumping and skipping. Let's go back. Now, I told you that my name. I told you how my name began.
But I got to tell you about my faith.
But
my
here
faith
I'm saying this. If your mama was Cherokee,
it's
your mama had
color,
Cherokee, and she did not believe in Jesus. This is something that you have adopted just recently. Why? Why are you saying that what your
Jesus,
mama believes
how you
is
know
wrong?
My mother don't believe in Jesus. How do you know she doesn't believe in Jesus? Who told you that?
Did you not
Hold
say
on.
That your mother was part Cherokee?
But that don't mean she didn't believe in Jesus.
The Cherokee did not believe
now,
in this Christian. The Cherokee did
Cherokee
not believe in Christianity.
But that
see,
don't mean. But
this is
I
why.
See you right.
This is why both of the beliefs. Are ludicrous because you're not basing it on any factual evidence. You're basing it based on belief, based on what you accept to be true, based on your heritage.
Cherokee did not worship
belief.
Jesus.
Well, not, well, see, not,
no, Christian
my,
Jesus.
My faith ain't based on where because I'm black.
Let's leave belief at the door. Cherokee did not worship a Christian God.
You can't leave belief at the door if you're talking about worship. And God.
Yeah.
Cherokee never went through a process. Cherokee never went through a process or a ritual that I know of on their history where they worship
you know
a Christian
saying,
God. Now,
culture,
so why are you
culture,
saying
babies talk through the mouth of the mother?
Why
so
are you
yeah,
saying
that's bugged out?
No,
why
that's
are you
right,
saying that your mama is wrong?
Mother.
You are saying your mother is wrong.
No, put it this way. I'm saying if mama...
See, the difference between
Jesus
me and
Christ,
you... Wait a minute, let me explain
else.
Something to you. Let me give you an example.
No,
see,
you ain't got to
my,
explain, really.
I can't explain.
I said before, if you don't accept Jesus, you lost.
Mine's part... Mine, now you're going back to the old okey-doke. Mine passed
there
mine
no
down to me. Listen, mine passed my culture down to me. Your mother, if she was part Cherokee,
no.
Someplace along the line, it didn't get passed down to you.
Listen. You were blessed that you can trace your, you know what I mean, thing all the way
what
back
accept,
down. And
what
that's
he
good.
Accepts to be true. What he accepts to be true.
Yeah, what he accepts.
That's what he only
Because you
do.
Accept it. Because you accept it.
And how about you?
What I'm saying, though, everything that you believe, you can say the same thing to me, however you want. But everything that you believe that was passed down to you, that you
no,
had no sense
How
to believe,
about yourself, sir?
It could all be a lie.
Yours only goes to yours stopped at your mama, your mother.
No.
God bless her soul.
His is a personal experience that he actually had with whom he
I'm trying to explain there. Mine is more as a personal experience. It don't have nothing to do with
yours
mama
is a personal
that.
Yours is something that you have recently adopted. I mean, it's all right.
No, it's
I mean, just the Constitution
adopted.
Of the United States give you a right to do that.
But what you mean recently adopted? Like I just accepted it yesterday?
Your belief in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Your mama didn't believe that.
How you know she didn't?
She was Cherokee. You said she were. Part Cherokee. Cherokee don't believe in that.
Listen, there are Indians who believe who gave their life to Christ.
Can you tell me why you actually brought up the story about the baby speaking through the mother? Can you
because
tell me
it's
why
true.
You
it's a true story.
No, but why bring it up in this type of conversation? Why?
I bring it up in many conversations.
But I'm saying why this particular one? Why did you bring that up in this particular conversation that we had tonight?
Lay down.
Because I was talking about tradition and culture.
You're talking about, okay. So his tradition and his culture says that they had personal experiences with their creator. And if you have the same experience,
it's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling him that he has a disconnect because his mother, being Cherokee, part Cherokee, that was not their practice.
Now, he's saying whether or not his mother practiced one type of religion opposed to another type of religion, it has nothing to do with what he accepts to be true now.
No, it does not.
Experience.
You're absolutely right. What I'm saying, that for me, it's a continuation. For him, there's a big break right there.
Let me ask you this question then. Let me ask you this question, Mr. Midwest. Every African or everybody in your whole family, right, has there ever been in the history of your family or anybody within the tribe that chose to believe something different?
That chose to believe something different?
Yeah, than what they were raised in.
I don't know everybody in the whole genealogical tribe.
So
the ones I know, no. The ones that I do know, no.
So he's saying, is it possible that somebody along the lines of your tribe could have taken on another belief?
Well, they could have, but the belief in general has continued on and on and on, just like the Igbo in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. It continues on and on and on. Many of them do.
Yes, but he's just saying
my wife has gotten in, by the way.
He said that there could have been a chance that someone could have adopted another religion. Whether or not yours stays the same.
They might have, but I don't know about it because mine goes, as I told you, in my name. My name indicates land, history, and culture.
So, my question to you is...
So, you've been in America for a long time, right? You've been in America for a long time, right? You were born
in Ghana.
By any chance, can...
You was born in
the
Ghana?
Knowledge that you have acquired... Can the knowledge that you have acquired...
I kid you not.
Can that be false?
I know a lot of different people that are African from different places. You are far by the best... speaking African, I guess, born over there that I've ever heard speak. Like, you don't even sound like you even have, like, any accent or anything at all. Like, you sound
you thought
like
I was a white
great.
Man.
No, seriously, yo. I'm telling you.
I speak Ebonics.
I
speak Ebonics, too.
Do he sound... Like he has any accent.
Let me tell you something. Experience I had in Detroit one time. We was on a building on Highway 75 across the road from the Highway Patrol. We was putting up an office building. I was working for Bethlehem Steel. And I needed a place to stay. So I looked in the newspaper, see a rooming house, and I get on the phone. I called the number. A lady answered the phone. A white woman, and we're going back and forth. I'm asking about it. She said, well, come on, she tell me, come on by and take a look at it. So I get in my car, I drive to the address, go up the steps, knock on the door. She opens the door and puts her hand over her mouth when she sees my black face. And she said, oh, no. And I told her, I said, well, ma'am, I come here to check the room out. You told me to come by. Well, see, she didn't know I was black because I spoke good English. Now, if I had been speaking Ebonics to her, then she would have caught on that I was who I was.
I know you're black. I think I speak a lot more proper than you do.
Say that again?
In this conversation, yes. Maybe.
No, what I'm saying, though, Eric, when you just hear him talk, do you think that he's from Ghana or, like, do you hear that in his voice?
I would not assume he's
from Ghana.
I was born in the States.
I would
assume he was from somewhere in America. Most
in
likely
America, right?
South. Yeah, or Midwest, like
from the South or something like something like that, but not like, I didn't think that.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when you started talking, you said you was black. I thought you was like almost like